The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Thank you for the wonderful introduction, and good morning. Welcome in. Today is October 10th, 2021, and here are the topics that we will discuss on this week's edition of The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
With so many teachers and school administrators harassed over mask mandates and other COVID restrictions, the Justice Department announced it would try to address this madness, but some in the GOP are all but pumping their fists in favor of the bullies enabling them by telling the lie that the FBI is coming after parents.
So hundreds of thousands of people are coming into our country. And if you look at the stats, if you look at the numbers, if you look at, just take a look at what's happening in Haiti, a tremendous problem with AIDS. Many of those people will probably have AIDS, and they're coming into our country, and we don't do anything about it. We let everybody come in. Sean, it's like a death wish. It's like a death wish for our country.
Overnight, a defeat for the Biden administration. A federal appeals court temporarily reinstating enforcement of the nation's most restrictive abortion law, which recently took effect in the state of Texas. It bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat has been detected, usually around 6 weeks, before many women even know they're pregnant. And it has no exceptions for rape or incest. President Biden defended a disappointing jobs report.
The monthly totals bounce around, but if you take a look at the trend, it's solid.
As only 194,000 jobs were added in September, way below the figure economists predicted for the second month in a row. But unemployment ticked down to 4.8%, the lowest it's been since the pandemic started.
Online radio at its best.
Put God first. Put God first in everything you do. Everything that you think you see in me, everything that I've accomplished, everything that you think I have, and I have a few things, everything that I have is by the grace of God. Understand that. It's a gift. 40 years ago, March 27th, 1975, it was 40 years ago, just this past March, I was flunking out of college. I had a 1.7 grade point average. I hope none of you can relate. I had a 1.7 grade point average. I was sitting in my mother's beauty shop. They still call it beauty shops now. What they call it now? Yeah, I'll sit in the beauty parlor. I was sitting in my mother's beauty parlor, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I see behind me this woman under the dryer. And every time she looked up, she was looking at me, just looking me in the eye. And I didn't know who she was, and I said, you know, she said, somebody give me a pen. Give me a pencil. I have a prophecy. March 27, 1975, she said, boy, you are going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Now, mind you, I was flunked out of college. I'm thinking about joining the Army. I didn't know what I was going to do, and she's telling me I'm going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Well, I have traveled the world, and I have spoke to millions of people. But that's not the most important thing, the success that I had. The most important thing is that what she taught me and what she told me that day has stayed with me since. I've been protected. I've been directed. I've been corrected. I've kept God in my life, and it's kept me humble. I didn't always stick with him, but he always stuck with me. So stick with him in everything you do. If you think you want to do what you think I've done, then do what I've done and stick with God.
Welcome in 347-850-1272. It is the Sirius Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio. And it's best, of course, I'm J. Ryle. Hope you guys are enjoying your beautiful Sunday, no matter where you are. Of course, I never share the stage by myself. Johnny D's in the house. Mr. L.E.S. is in the house. Rich Sister's in the house as well. Let's say good morning to them all. Good morning, Rich Sister. How are you doing on this beautiful Sunday morning?
I'm doing great. How's everyone doing?
We're doing fine, Rich Sister.
Wonderful,
so glad to hear your voice on this beautiful Sunday. Thank you for being a part of what we do. You heard that deep voice. You know who that is. That's Johnny D in the place to be. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. I am blessed. Jay, I love the inspiration from a person that I admire in the entertainment
field. Absolutely.
Brother Denzel Washington. Miss Jackie, Miss Rich Sister, good morning to you. Brother Les, Brother Jerome, and my big brother Jay, and to all that allow us an opportunity to come into their homes. I appreciate this opportunity God has given us on this day. So looking forward to the topics, looking forward to this new forum that Jay has put in. So let's see how this thing plays out.
Uh-oh, look at you, and I can't wait to talk about it as well. The man that gets the first and last word here on the Sirius Side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S. Good morning, Mr. L.E.S. How are you, sir?
Well, good morning to you, sir, and good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Rich Sister. Good morning, Mama B. Good morning, Mary the Music. And good morning, my very lovely Vanessa. And good morning, my brother Hawk. And good morning, my brother Jerome.
Good morning. The number is 347-850-1272. Hope you guys can hang out with us for the next 2 hours. Nothing but fun and information coming right at you. Of course, let's say what's up to Vanessa, hanging out in the woods somewhere. I tell you what, man, it's just a matter of time before we all can be Vanessa. I want to be Vanessa when we grow up, when I grow up especially. And I'm pretty sure, John, you feel the same way.
Absolutely. And you know what, Jay, let me say this right here. I apologize. I miss Miss Vanessa. We done communicated this morning. So, Miss Vanessa, enjoy yourself. Like I say, I didn't mean to omit you from my greetings this morning.
Absolutely. All right. You know what time it is, folks. It's what we call a little bit of personal privilege when we take a little time to talk about things that we are not going to cover during the show. Now, John, there is some good news hanging around, and I don't know if this is something you want to share with the public, but I'm excited about it. So I'll give you the floor, sir, if you choose to. If not, I'm just going to say what's happening. High fives and fist bumps to you, and I love you, and I'm so proud of everything that you have accomplished in your life. Do your thing, brother. Do your thing. Anything you want to talk about this morning? Or are we just going to let this slide and keep it amongst the fam?
No. You know what, Jay? Like I say, it's a joyous opportunity, joyous occasion. So I'm going to omit from going into details until you and I speak specifically about that, the long-term aspect of it. But God has blessed me to be able to have a glorious career in which I'm going to bring to an end and pursue some other options. So I will be joining Miss Vanessa, not in the RV parks and not in those Trump bills, but I'm going to retire and focus on some other things and some other opportunities. So again, this is a great opportunity, great day. And like I said, we'll discuss some details and then bring it out at a later date.
My man, well, you know what, brother, high fives and fist bumps to you, brother. You are just, I'm just amazed. The brother that sat in my car and we listened to Let's All Get Ridiculous, B-A-G-L-O-M-C Glow. This guy has turned into somebody that I admire, and I just take my hat off to you, brother. I love you to death, and it looks
Absolutely. Like someone
has joined the ranks. Maybe she's here to say a little hello to you. Let's see. Vanessa, good morning out in the woods with the cougars and the tigers and the whatever. How are you doing?
Good morning. Okay, because I never talked to y'all with an earplug in my ear. Can y'all hear me?
Absolutely.
Yes, okay. I got your plug in my ear. Okay. So first, I want to say, Johnny D, no matter what it is that you're doing, you have served us through the country, being in the military. You have served with the police department or whatever it is that you do that you know, keeps us safe. We want to say thank you. We want to say congratulations to you. And even if you're not out here with the wild boars, and the raccoons that can open up your cooler, and the alligator that's right here by the pier, and the ears that were up here by my last night, and the armadillo that walked across my brother-in-law's foot. Yes, Lord Jesus, we're at a nature park. I just want you to know that we appreciate you. And you don't have to be in the RV, but you can come on and get on a cruise ship with us. How about that?
Well, you know, Miss Vanessa, now, you know, as I communicated with you in the past, I do plan to bring my family so that we can share some time next year in Texas. So I will do that. But I will be honest, of all of those bestialities that you just explained that y'all dealing with, the one I'm most fearful of is that one without the mask, okay? The one that walk around on two legs without the mask, wanting to breathe in my face.
Oh, no, they don't get that close to you. No, they don't get that close to you. We're at a nature park. It's like it's my daughter and her 40 friends, and we got invited to come, some of the parents, and we came. But they're not that close. But you can't hurt them. You can't shoot them. You can't feed them. You can't do anything to these animals. Miss Carrie was live last night while I was filming the deer walking up to my campsite. It's not like that. It's not like that. I'm scared of animals, too, like that. But no. But it's great. Yep. It's just great to be in the nature with all it is. I'm enjoying being out of the city. But I'm so happy for you.
Well, I definitely want to see some footage.
You retired, get on your back porch. If you retire,
yeah, well,
get on your
Vanessa,
back porch.
I definitely want to see some footage now, okay?
It's on Facebook.
Oh, there you go. So Facebook is a place to be. Speaking
love
of Facebook, they're on the hot seat.
Y'all have a blessed
love
day.
You too,
and I'm going to sit back and listen. Because I'm going to help these kids out here and go eat breakfast. So.
Well, do your thing, girl.
I'm
thank you for checking in. Appreciate you. See you back here next week.
Love y'all.
You know, I'm having too much fun. Love you too, Vanessa. Mm-hmm. You know, she brought up Facebook. You know, Facebook was definitely on the cover. It was actually made the news this past week, Mr. Elias. Just real quick, man, in the last 2 minutes we have left. They're saying that it's harmful to teenage girls, that Facebook knew about this, and yet still they tried to do everything in their power not to only cover it up, but to try to find ways to make it work better so they can get more influencers, more people to participate in the app. From my perspective, I'm like, dang, can someone really be that vulnerable and gullible? But you know what, man, we're talking about young minds. They could be influenced a certain way, and so... give me your thoughts real quick on what's happening with Facebook and, you know, this whole thing that's being exposed right now.
Well, you know, Song Jay, you know, Facebook has long been a toxic environment, man. You just get on there and people would really believe, that's where they get their news from, that people believe everything. People don't do research. So if somebody posts something on somebody instantly reposted without doing any research or anything or any of that nature. So, you know, that when that whistleblower came out this week, you know, was I shocked a little bit, but was I surprised? No, because that's what people are greedy. I said a long time ago, greed is killing this country. People are so greedy, they'll do whatever they can to make a dollar. And Michael Zuckerberg don't need another dollar, but he's going to do whatever he can to make another one.
Interesting. You know, Johnny D, in the last 60 seconds we have left, real quick, Steve Bannon has decided he's not going to go to Congress, even though he was subpoenaed. I tell you what, man, people that receive subpoenas and you can just ignore them, let one of us do that. Man, they'd have us in jail so fast. Why can't Congress turn this thing into a criminal situation where if you don't show up, no problem, we'll give you those sterling silver bracelets and send your butt to jail real quick, man, in the 60 seconds we have left. Give me your thoughts on this one real quick.
Well, I tell you what, in simple format, at the time that all of those rogue criminals was basically dismissing the subpoena, you had an executive branch who was controlling the judicial branch. And because of that, there was no enforcement of it. So you had Trump, you had Barr, both of them are criminals. I would like to see President Biden step up and really be aggressive, as well as the U.S. Attorney Garland do what he needs to do in order to make sure that he is present. Now, he can evoke the Fifth Amendment if he chooses to, but he needs to be sitting in that seat.
That's absolutely. I agree with you on that. That is due process, and it's unfortunate. People that have money can seem that they can try to find ways around that whole thing. All right, coming up a little later in the show, a new segment called Help Me With This. And the bottom line is that I think it's self-explanatory. Thoughts that may enter my mind during the course of the week, and I'm thinking, what would my colleagues think of it? So that's coming up a little later on in the show. All right, we've talked long enough. It is time to get into the heavy lifting of the show. An NPR News update is right around the corner, and then the show gets started in forthright. You are listening to The Serious Side. Welcome in. Beautiful Sunday. Hope you guys are hanging out with us for the rest of the journey. Don't go anywhere. NPR News is coming up right now.
Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. Iraqi voters are going to the polls today for parliamentary elections. The elections are being held early after weeks of mass demonstrations in 2019, in which protesters called for sweeping reforms to tackle government corruption and improve public services. But as NPR's Ruth Sherlock reports, many Iraqis believe these elections will not bring change.
2 years ago, protesters took to the streets, exasperated by the state's failure to provide health care or other basic public services. They called for major changes in government to end the corruption that cripples the state. In response, in the weeks of protests, some 600 people were killed by security forces and militias. The protesters did succeed in securing a new election law. Iraqis will now vote for individual candidates instead of party lists, in a move that's meant to make politicians more accountable. But many Iraqis believe this does not go far enough, because it does little to address the underlying causes of corruption in Iraq's government. So many who risked their lives in the protests to make these elections happen now say they're going to stay home. Ruth Sherlock, NPR News, Baghdad.
The Army general who commanded U.S. and allied forces in Iraq has died. General Ray Odierno's family says he died this weekend of cancer. He was 67. Odierno helped shape the trajectory of the war in Iraq, as NPR's Amy Held reports.
At 6.5 feet tall, Ray Odierno, a former West Point football player, was a towering figure in more ways than one. A near four-decade military career saw him rise to Army Chief of Staff before retiring in 2015. First, he spent 3 tours in Iraq, taking over as top commander in 2008. The next year, he spoke to NPR about sectarian tension there.
Our role is to ensure that it does not come to violence and it's solved in a peaceful way.
Odierno left in 2010 as combat wound down. This weekend, a test of the democratic system brought on by the U.S. invasion, but years of corruption, mismanagement, and violence have many Iraqis boycotting the parliamentary election. President Biden, whose son served under Odierno's command, remembered the general as a fierce advocate for military families. Amy Held, NPR News.
The superintendent of the Louisiana State Police, Colonel Lamar Davis, says he has a heavy heart over the death of a state trooper, but that a shooting spree that spanned 3 Louisiana parishes this weekend came to an end last night.
The suspect, 31-year-old Matthew Mir, was taken into custody without incident.
Authorities say Matthew Mir is suspected of ambushing and killing the 19-year veteran trooper Adam Gilbert. He is also believed to have exchanged gunfire with another state trooper after killing a woman and wounding 3 others. Police in Arizona have caught a suspect who critically injured a sheriff's deputy, and authorities in Georgia are looking for a suspect who fatally shot a police officer. This is NPR News.
I know my body better now I do it.
It's easy now.
I used to lack confidence, but now I know exactly what to do.
My friends are surprised how regularly I do it.
I didn't realize men should do it.
I didn't know what to do, but now it's part of my routine.
Doing it saves my life.
I thought it would take longer, but a few minutes, that's all I need.
I encourage all my friends to start doing it early.
I used to be shy about it, but now I tell my friends how to do it.
It's easy. Now I know what to do.
My surprise because I did it.
I was scared the first time, but now I do it with a smile.
If you don't do it, you might not spot it. Join a Boob Watch by having regular checks.
Online radio at its best.
We are becoming a nation of bullies and the bullied. Just this week, we saw anti-vaxxers chasing parents outside of schools in California.
You used to be traumatized because you put that mask on and you don't let them breathe through it.
That's my choice. You better respect my choice. You're propaganda. You're not being told the truth. Welcome back in. 347-850-1672. It's the Serious Side of the Jhené Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Online radio at its best. Now, don't forget, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so make sure if you have your mother, daughter, sister, wife, make sure that she and he go and get their breast examined to make sure. All right. Two black Democratic state legislators from Virginia have accused the state's Republican Party of using racist trolls after it sent out flyers depicting them as puppets hoisted in the air by hand-held strings, according to the Associated Press. The state GOP mailed out flyers targeting 8 Democrats currently running for state House seats, 5 of whom are white, 3 of whom are black, according to the AP. All the candidates are depicted as puppets being held by strings under the phrase, D.C. liberals are pulling the strings in Richmond, while Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez can be seen looking on. But only 2 candidates, both whom are black, are seen dangling from the ground. Both candidates criticized the depiction in the mailers, saying that it takes voters back to where, I'm sorry, I just lost my way. Here it is. All right. So the state mailed out. I forget it. You know what? I have lost all this. It went away while I was talking. I'm sorry about that. All right, so let's start right there. 347-850-1272. Jesus Christ. All right, so basically, the million-dollar question is, let's not make it difficult. It's all about the GOP. Now, you heard at the top where they are attacked. They are attacking people who are trying to get vaccinated. But more, what's really got me in a tizzy this morning is the fact that their racism is blatant. The racism of this crowd is blatant. And something has to be done about it. So let's start right there. Mr. Elias, man, I know I fumbled that. But, you know, I think the point that I'm trying to get across here, or the topic that we're going to discuss here in this first segment, is how blatant the GOP is when it comes to racism. I mean, you're seeing it everywhere. I mean, the fact that they would even attempt to send out flyers that depict lawmakers as hanging from the string, anything that that involves a rope and a string and someone hanging from the ground, it just seems to me that in this day and age, you must understand the sense how sensitive that is, and why would you put that type of information out there? I mean, it's just crazy, man. Give me your thoughts on it.
Well, you know something, Jay? They have been doing this for the longest. It's nothing new. Think about Trump's rallying cry, Make America Great Again. When was America great for black folks? When was America great for black folks? Please tell me when it was great for black folks. Okay, then it's just,
okay.
That silence tells me everything. America was never great for black folks. It never has been great for black folks.
Okay.
Right. Well,
when you say okay, well, when you say great, Mr. Okay, listen, the past is the past. There's no doubt about that. I agree with you 110%. But you know, this is much deeper than some catchphrase by Trump.
Again.
But it's deeper than that, Mr. Elias. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, focusing on some stuff. It is. It is deeper than some catchphrase. Make America great again. Who gives a dang about that? The bigger problem is that he's providing cover for people to show these tendencies. And I said this a long time ago, and I know if you've been listening to this show, you know what I'm about to say. That when President Obama was elected, I said one or two things are going to happen. Some of y'all can even finish the statement because I've said it so many times. Either it's going to show how far America has grown, or it's going to unleash the underbelly of racism that really exists in this country and has been dormant for the longest. And I said that I wouldn't be able to answer that question after the president had finished his terms. And I'm going to tell you something. Me, personally, Ms. Elias, I think what it did was it opened these racial undertones that's been in this country but it's been dormant because people said, we'll let a black person be a CEO of a company. We don't care about that stuff. You know, we need to give them something. But wait a minute, now they're the most powerful man in the world. Oh, we got to raise up. We can't have that happen. And that's why I think we are where we are today, to be perfectly honest with you.
No, I think we are where we are today. I think we are where we are today is because racism has never gone anywhere. It has never been dormant.
It's never gone away.
It has never been dormant. It's just people just never really seen the racism like they've seen. I deal with racism every day.
Well, that's dormant. It still is.
It's not dormant.
Well, that's being dormant.
It's not dormant when I deal with it. It's not dormant when I deal with it every day. When I deal with it every day.
Okay.
You can get a qualified African that comes in and they won't hire him because of his skin color.
I don't give a damn about
nothing. Racism has always been here. It's never going anywhere.
Nobody said it never has. No, no one has never
said
it has been around.
It's never been dormant.
Well, no, no. Let me explain
system.
What I'm saying. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Think about our school system. Think about the education they provide for the people and the lower income poverty level. Think about all that stuff. They don't provide anything for these people. What do they do?
Okay.
They provide for the rich folks. They give everything to the rich folks, and usually those are the white folks. That's who they give it to. But hey, they don't give a damn because racism is going to keep raising its ugly head. I keep saying it over and over again.
All right, well, let me clarify some accusations that you hurled towards me. First of all, I never said racism went away. Racism has always been there. But what I'm saying is that you, at some point, I remember if someone sent out something that was remotely close to what we're seeing today, they would have to resign, right? I mean, racism hasn't gone away, but it got to a point where America said, okay, the majority of Americans said, and Johnny, I want you to help me on this one, where the majority of the Americans said that, okay, we're not going to put up with this. Let me tell you something. President Obama was elected president in a country where every week we talk about gerrymandering, every week we talk about how the GOP is trying to change things. He got elected under those circumstances. So to sit here and say that America, you know, the majority of Americans are racist, that's a false statement.
I never said the majority of racist was American.
You're
putting words in my mouth. I never said that.
Okay,
you're right.
You're right. But what you're insinuating is that
name me one GOP member that made a racist statement that resigned. Give me one. Name me one.
I can't give you off the top of my head.
You can't, because they don't resign. You had somebody yell out in the middle of a presidential speech saying you lie, and he never had to resign.
But all right, I'll tell you what. We spent too much time going back and forth. Let's give the floor to others. Johnny, you may give me a thought on this whole thing, man, because me and this dude can argue for hours. We can argue for a whole show, so we don't want to do that. Go ahead, John. Give me your thoughts on this.
Well, I tell you what, definitely. So I don't know if I'm going to add any civility to the process, but I think part of the success of the show is you and Les. Definitely. It is. I sat back and just chuckled off the line, but nevertheless, this really was a significant campaign issue in 2020. And you know, if you go back to the statistical data, I think what frightened people and what brought people to the polls overwhelmingly was the blatant racism of the previous criminal regime, and the blatant act. But yet still 75 million people voted for that, okay? So there is a growing sentiment that mantra, make America great again, is really how people internally feel. So let's not mistake the fact that there were 75 million people who voted for this guy with all of his, you know, racist, gender-baiting, homophobic, anti-this and anti-that rhetoric and platform. Recently, you know, in Iowa, you know, they had this Republican conference where you had the South Dakota Governor Naomi, I think that's her name, Mike Pompeo and Mike Pence. And they talked openly about you know, race issues will be prominent in the 2024 election, i.e. critical race theory, although I think 90% of the people have no clue of what it really, really is. It just sounds good to use that as a platform. And then, of course, this notion about defund the police. And I think that's where the president has to do a better job in regards to identifying what his administration sees as defunding the police, okay? Now, you got Kim Scott out there on this platform running around acting like he's the GOP savior. And it's almost like, you know, once the George Floyd Reform Act went away, you know, Cory Booker appeared on a couple of shows talking about how great he was, and Tim Floyd got up there and just contradicted. But the office of the president hasn't come out and clearly stated that. Now, like I say, being a long-term, you know, long-term government person who has worked in the military as well as the law enforcement community, you got to clarify what defund the police means. That's, to me, when I hear that, that's a problem to me. Because if you want to have these programs and stuff, it costs money. If you want to retrain the people that you're talking about needs to train, it costs money. If you want to deal with the mental health issues instead of sending law enforcement people out, sending social workers out, it costs money. So instead of setting up there, you letting the Republicans use that blank terminology, defund the police, and scaring everybody like they did with Willie Horton years ago, with Mike Dukakis and Ronald Reagan, I think, wasn't Ronald Reagan or George W. Bush, I think it was George H. Bush that beat him. You know, you got to set back and just, you know, make a stand and come up with a platform. If it doesn't resonate with the people of America, then guess what? At least be forthright and forthcoming. This skipping and dancing is allowing this racist regime of people to set back and divide America. I mean, let's talk about McCarthy in the 50s. He used the same type of terminology. Ronald Reagan used the same type of terminology as they utilized him as the Manchurian candidate, as those rich backers publicly built him, and that was his platform. Mm-hmm. Let's make America great again. So now Trump has just simply come out here and insinuated, but see, you know, again, it still serves the same portfolio, is the fact that we want the power and we're going to keep the power, but we'll divide people, because in a division, that's how they stay in office, okay?
Yeah.
We already know that they're obstructionists. They have no platform. All they can do is get out there and shout those rhetoric from the rooftop. Now, what I did, Jay, I had not heard about that Virginia incident. But, you know, as
right.
we typically do, you know, you get studied up on it. And, I mean, when you look at all the candidates, the only ones that they got the ropes on is the black men.
Yep. Yep.
I mean,
yep.
That's it.
And the Jewish candidate, they superimpose their nose and had them looking at money.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It's the stereotypical thing that they do.
It's,
yep,
you know,
race baiting.
Exactly. You know, there's that overall blatantness, okay, that exists. But then it's those subtle things that's occurring right now that people may try to sleep on. And of course, you got President Biden, you got Vice President Harris, and, you know, they have clearly said, you know, that America is turning into a racist country. Well, guess what? I'm not suggesting that they're not doing anything, but I'm saying they're not doing enough to get the message out and bring people together. So, you know, those who might think, okay, I'm being critical. No, I'm just being real, okay? I'm out there in the street,
right.
And I know that the people are beginning to set back and say, you know what? I'm not too sure. You know, you got one person who promised us, you know, that we're going to be a significant part, yet I have yet to see it. And then you got the first African-American female who you keeping on the back, you know, in the back room and appear in certain instances, but should be out there promoting it. So what I'm saying right here is that you got to come with a message, and your platform has got to resonate so that you meet them head on, because as long as you keep allowing them to take the shot, then they're going to keep taking these shots. And we know that they lie, okay? We know that they lie to get out misinformation, but unless you listen to the shows such as this right here, then you're going to always be misinformed. So you out there thinking
you're
gonna there's only one message because they the ones that's screaming from the top of the building,
right.
And we setting up we setting in some back room, meaning President Biden and Kamala Harris, you know, Vice President Harris, setting in some back room whispering about, you know, hey, we don't want to offend anybody. Get out there and kick somebody in the chest and sit back and say, you know, this is my platform, and I'm not going to let y'all just continuously tell these lies. I mean, it comes a time where you just got to just square up and fight.
Yeah, you're right about that. Let me jump in here. Let me jump in here because we're running out of time here. So let me get your thoughts here real quick, Rich Sister, in regards to what we're talking about. And as far as the GOP, listen, you know, you heard the anti-vax stuff at the top of the segment, but it all plays in that role. It's still that underlining thing that, okay, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, the Republican Party, I mean, what it represents today, not only from this whole situation, you know, the hypocrisy with the Republican Party, the fact that they're telling people not to get vaxxed. I'm talking about Republicans, not the people that are in office, but these influencers on the GOP side, they're telling people not to get vaxxed. And guess what? All of them are vaxxed. Right. And so, you know, you have Tucker Carlson spreading his hate lies every night on Fox News. And then you have this situation that's going on with the blatancy of, and I don't know if I just made that word up, it's just blatant as far as what they're doing when it comes to racism on the GOP side. Give me your thoughts on this real quick.
Well, just bottom line, are you really shocked? I mean, it's just the way that's been started since the beginning of time, but definitely since Trump been in office. I mean, the Republican is just really showing their face clearly as to who they are, and they've been like that for a long time. So nothing that they're doing is shocking me at all.
You know what? It's interesting you say that. Nothing that they're doing is shocking you at all. It's bringing the smartest man in the world in the 4 minutes we have left in the segment, the one and only Mr. Jerome Esprit. What's going on, man? Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Trying to keep a cup of water.
Good morning, Jerome.
I've been
contact
this morning.
Yeah,
all right,
morning,
so, Jerome, man, we have 4 minutes left in the segment. I want to get your thoughts on this whole thing with the way the GOP is acting as far as, I don't know, man. It's like there's a war brewing somewhere. I mean, you had these young white kids running around with tiki torches saying Jews won't replace us. We've seen this in the past with, you know, lawmakers, you know, saying things that are, I remember the picture that circulated of President Obama as a pimp and, you know, Michelle Obama as a whole. I mean, you know, they've been doing this, but it's like it's blatant to me. It's just at a point where now they don't care. It's like, you know, they have the cover that they need to do what they want to do, and they're just going to act it out, and they don't really care what happens. Give me your thoughts on this in the 4 minutes we have left.
Well, I mean, I don't understand the question specifically as far as the GOP is concerned, but I can tell you this, that, you know, we can't keep projecting the same things that they're marketing to us, right? And I know that that's their goal, to get everyone sidetracked. So even when you said earlier about, you know, President Biden and Kamala Harris and how they should be kind of handling this stuff different, I don't know if they can, right? If there's an undercurrent of racism that is going through everything, then technically all you have to do is tweak it a little bit. And the Republicans are really good at this. So they do something really racist. We blow it up by pointing it out, and we're magnifying it, and they walk away like, oh, we ain't do nothing. That's been working for them. It always works for them. But what they're doing is they're rallying up the racist people. And we don't do that on the opposite side to counter it. We're just like, we should live above the fray. It's why I think that Obama was not as effective as he could have been, because he said, oh, I have some work to do. But so all the work that he put in looks like he did no work, because people want a show. Did not do jack, but he put on the show. So we still have people around here talking about how great of a job that he's done, and they can't name anything. I can name a ton of stuff that Obama did, and people will say, well, name it. Like, it's really weird how that works. All that work that he put in, just because the other person put on the show that they're looking at the clown car, and they're like, oh, the clown car was funny, he did this, he was mean, he did this. Obama did not put on the show. So the only thing we can pick up is what racist people did to Obama, and we attach that to his legacy, which we're wrong for this. We're wrong for keep attaching negative to him, because that is what marketing and promotion is. And they're really, really, really good at it. So, you know, the GOP is going to be who they are, and they're never going to change this without some kind of drastic repercussions of what they're doing. And they're not going to get that from white folks generally. They're going to just dismiss it.
Well, I tell you, it's just it's a crazy situation, Jerome. And when you think about how, you know, what we're seeing today, and I don't know, it's sometimes coming on this show can be very enthusiastic about it. I'm happy to do it. But then once we kind of get into some of the topics, it's like, damn, really? This is the country that
we live in? It's not a bad thing, though. That's the point that I wanted to make, right? Like, so I know when we talk about this and we talk about, like, that sounds like a dire situation. Like, it's too bad that the world won't wake up to see how races are crazy people are. But what I think is that I am actually happy about it, because once we get desensitized to it, if a racist person or anybody comes to you and calls you stupid, you have to actually believe that to get mad at them. I would actually literally laugh at somebody for that. You don't know me. You know if I'm lit, right? So we have to be desensitized. They can still poke us way too much to have people react, and that's how politics works. Republicans do racist stuff because it makes white folks in areas that don't have a lot of black people, it motivates them because their privilege is being attacked, not them individually. Their privilege is.
Interesting. Wow, good stuff, man. All right, so, well, there's no such thing as a dumb question. With all the talk about the debt ceiling this past week, there are some of you out there, and I know you're thinking, what the hell is the debt ceiling? Well, you're in luck, because in this week's edition of In 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know, we're going to explain what the debt ceiling is and why there's such a big fuss about it. It's the Venus in 4 Minutes or Less. Something.
When President Trump was president, we Democrats supported lifting the debt ceiling because it's the responsible thing to do.
Republicans are united in opposition to raising the debt ceiling.
Republicans and Democrats are again feuding over the debt limit, or the total amount of money that the federal government can borrow to pay its bills. Congressional Republicans are threatening to oppose any increase to this borrowing authority without a commitment to spending cuts. And Congressional Democrats are calling for an increase to this borrowing authority without conditions. As in years past, it has brought the federal government to the brink of defaulting on its debt obligations. The debt limit is a form of something that Congress has always done: allocate and approve what the government funds and how the government funds it. But how Congress went about issuing that debt changed during World War I. With the total cost of the war unknown, Congress in 1917 created the first form of what we now call the debt limit, or debt ceiling, before formalizing it further with a new act in 1939. After raising the debt limit for years without much controversy, Congress blocked President Dwight Eisenhower's debt limit increase request in 1953.
Unless budgeted deficits are checked, the momentum of past programs will force an increase of the statutory debt limit.
Since 1960, Congress has raised the debt limit 78 times. But this perceived leverage to enact spending cuts grew over the years and led to multiple near defaults for the federal government. And by 1981, Congress had raised the debt limit to $1 trillion for the first time, despite President Ronald Reagan's promises to cut government spending during the 1980 presidential campaign.
So-called temporary increases or extensions in the debt ceiling have been allowed 21 times in these 10 years. And now, I've been forced to ask for another increase in the debt ceiling, or the government will be unable to function past the middle of February. And I've only been here 16 days.
When the government hit the debt limit in September 1985, the Treasury Department for the first time took so-called extraordinary measures to stave off default while still making payments to recipients of Social Security and other programs. By the time Reagan left office, he had raised the debt limit more than a dozen times. The government briefly shut down in 1995 and 1996 when congressional Republicans initially refused to raise the debt limit before later agreeing to raise it months later.
I also challenge the Congress to preserve the full faith and credit of the United States, to rise above partisanship and pass a straightforward extension of the debt limit and show people America keeps its word.
This brinksmanship has become even more frequent over the past decade as the government risked defaulting on its debts following showdowns in 2011 and 2013. It even led to a downgrade of the U.S. credit rating in 2011.
Nobody, Democrat or Republican, is willing to see the full faith and credit of the United States government collapse.
The opportunity presented by the President's request of us to raise the debt ceiling is going to produce what many people will believe is a complete change in the trajectory of the federal government, beginning to get spending under control.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But after voting to raise the debt limit multiple times during the Trump administration, some congressional Republicans are now refusing to raise the limit under President Biden, risking default and a possible government shutdown.
This is a totally Democratic government. They have an obligation to raise the debt ceiling, and they will do it.
Are you worried about the debt ceiling, Mr. President?
Nope.
They're not going to close. $8 trillion of that is Republican watch.
Today, nearly one in five Americans are living with a mental health condition, from our children and grandparents to our veterans, coworkers, and neighbors. For all of us, our mental well-being is just as important as our physical health. But unfortunately, most of us don't know how to recognize the signs that someone is in emotional distress, and so many of those who are having difficulty can't get the help they need. And together, we can change this. We can start by visiting changedirection.org and learning the five signs that may mean someone is struggling and needs help. And then it's up to us to show compassion, to reach out, to connect, help folks find the hope and the support they need. Together, we can change the story about mental health in America. Together, we can change direction.
Online radio at its best.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help.
I know the media wants to distract from the Biden administration's failed agenda by focusing on one day in January. They want to use that one day to try and demean the character and intentions of 74 million Americans.
Tell me it's a cult without saying it's a cult. It's almost like we are playing Trump cult bingo.
So hundreds of thousands of people are coming into our country. Then if you look at the stats, if you look at the numbers, if you look at, just take a look at what's happening in Haiti, a tremendous problem with AIDS. Many of those people will probably have AIDS and they're coming into our country and we don't do anything about it. We let everybody come in. Sean, it's like a death wish. It's like a death wish for our country.
Oh, my God. 48 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ralph Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. It is best. As we have been promoting all morning long, it is time for a new segment. You know, every now and then we'll do this, but it is called Help Me Understand. And help me understand basically is, you know, I may have a thought that happened throughout the week, or I may hear something that may trigger my interest. And so I'm thinking, what will my colleagues think about this? So in this morning's edition, the very first edition of Help Me Understand, guys, help me understand why people continue to listen to Trump. Help me understand why this guy still has a microphone. Help me understand that intelligent people who you thought were intelligent, like, for example, our former Vice President Mike Pence, even though you may disagree with him on policy, you can't say that he's a dumb man. For him to stand there and say, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we're blaming, you know, they're trying to get us to look at these insurrectionists as, you know, anything other than patriots. These were people that were exercising their constitutional right. You had a mob of white folks storm the Capitol and try to overturn a freaking vote. Help me understand how Josh Hawley can sit there and say some of the things that he says, the nonsense that he spews. Help me understand why Chuck Grassley, who is supposed to be a senior elder person in the Republican Party, is attending a Trump rally. Help me understand this, somebody. Anybody can help me. Just start talking. Help me understand. Who got it first? Help me understand.
What? Well, let's call it what it is. Look, man, they don't want to lose power. Power is a aphrodisiac to some people. So they don't want to lose that power. Call it what it is. You can't fight that. And, you know, you're talking about all these like Holly and the rest of them. They're ambitious. They want to go to be president. They don't care that what Trump spews out is hate. Hell, I went to an event last week, and one of my close friends said, F Biden, bring Trump back, because he's losing money in the stock market. And I laughed at him. I said, so as long as you make your money, monkey, you'll be okay. But
oh, wow.
if they get in power, guess what's going to happen to your money? Because they're trying to stop you from allowing you to vote. You can, and if you vote for somebody wrong, they're gonna take your right away to vote. Because I ain't doing that. I said, dude, you don't really pay attention to anything, do you? All you care about is that dollar. And I said to what Dave Chappelle said, they should never give you N-words money. Bottom line, because you are worried about more about money than what's going on socially. You're worried about what's going on in your pocket than you are worried about what's going to happen when you can't put the right people in office to allow you to make money.
Well, Jackie, help me understand. Help me understand why, you know, I thought he'd be gone by now, right? And I read something, every now and then throughout the week, I may try to go find a message, and I found some message someone sent me saying, you know, about Trump and all this nonsense. And I says, look, the reason why we talk about him, because I don't want people to take their eye off the ball. This man is dangerous. He is, to me, he's public enemy number one. And I'm not going to sit here and let him spew this nonsense without somebody coming back saying what he said is a bunch of lies. He's just not going to operate under the radar. Not in my world. So if he says something stupid, we're going to call it out. So if that's giving him more time, so what? I mean, at the end of the day, I cannot in good faith sit back and allow this guy to say the stuff that he says and for the people to continue to suck as you know what. I don't get it. I just don't get it. And he really thinks that the comments he made about, you know, people with AIDS, yeah, they did have a problem with AIDS back in the day, but that's a done deal. But he throws his nonsense out here for these uneducated people to suck on it. I mean, it's amazing to me how much influence he still has. And let me, like you said, John, 75 million people voted for this dude. So, yeah, the majority of America said, we're not dealing with this nonsense. But even the fact that 75 million people, Jackie, voted for him, this is a problem. What say you? Help me understand, Jackie.
How about this? I wish I could help you understand, because I don't understand it.
Well, that's a quick answer.
All I can say is 75 million people voted for him. I mean, enough said. I mean, there's people out there that think just, and then the people who are in the White House with him, I mean, you know, They're willing to kiss his butt. I mean, I don't know what else to say to you. He got his cronies out there. He got his cronies out there still working for him. So, I mean, there's nothing else to say about that.
Right.
I don't
get it. You're right.
I don't get it, but common sense wins for me, but not for everyone.
That's interesting. You put it that way. As I don't know, maybe you're standing outside. It's like all the cars are passing. Please be safe while you're out there on the streets. You know, Jerome, when I asked the question, help me understand, here's the part that I think that really and truly just makes me go, wow. I mean, Jerome, these are people that are supposedly educated, and yet and still they continue to support this guy. 75 million people voted for him. And I was talking to a guy the other day, and he had a Trump sticker on the back of his vehicle, right? So I was getting something from Home Depot. The guy comes to me, and he says, hey, you need a hand? And I said, no, I'm good. This is what he said. He says, well, man, I'm a good guy despite being a Trump supporter. And I kind of looked at him saying, well, what do you mean by that? You know, and we got into this conversation. I'm not going to blow all the rest of the time because we only have 4 minutes left. And maybe I'll tell that story if I have a little bit more time somewhere in the show, if I can find it. But the point was, he was trying to illustrate to me, short, quick, and simple, that even though he may support Trump, it's not because of what Trump is as a person. It is what Trump represents as far as what he can do for his constituents. And like I said, it was a long conversation, fascinating conversation, but I'm not going to, like I said, take all the time talking about that. But Jerome, help me understand, man, why is this man still relevant in today's politics?
Well, you know, okay, first let me help you out with the guy who says that he's not a bad guy, or what do you say, he's not a bad guy because he voted for Trump?
Well, yeah. He said, well, I'm not a bad guy because I support Trump. And I looked at him like, what?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, whatever.
Next time somebody says that to you, say, yes, you are, right? Like, because the truth is that the economy was good and on track of getting better during Obama, but you don't love him, right? Don't blame that on that's an excuse. So if you are hiding, like, your own feelings because of somebody else's bad behavior, but you're like, but I'm a good guy. If you have to say that, you are not, right? White folks want the privilege of having people still love them even though they hate us. You don't get to play that game. So we need to be careful in dealing with people who are smiling in your face. Draw your line. You know, it is Snoop at the Source Awards. We know where we at. You know, claim your people. If that's what you want, claim that fool. Because we know who he is. That's not our issue. So we have to be really clear, because people are not going to be honest with you until we are clear one way or another of where we are. But we keep, you know, forgiving them and saying we have to engage because it's politics. That part is not politics. Somebody wanting to starve you is not politics. Someone wanting to hurt you or kill you is not politics. A political alignment is very different than someone assaulting you. So there's a big difference in how we have to look at this. And even, you know, and I think I've said this to you before, and I'm going to keep yelling at you, stop saying the number of people who voted for Trump. Because I had that kind of, someone asked me this, or it was someone white who said, you know, I can't believe X amount of people voted for Trump. I'm like, well, can you believe that he still lost because X amount of voted for the guy who won? That's a silly argument. So, and I know where you were going. Yours was different by just saying the sheer number of people. But I can just tell you this. Again, I think I used this before, but I'll say it again. When Loyola Marymount was scoring about 130 points a game, like 130, 140 sometimes, the teams that they were playing were still scoring 90. They probably averaged about 95 points a game. So if I'm playing for a team that normally scores 60 and they scored 95 points against Loyola Marymount, they got 140. The only way you can get 140 points in a basketball game is to let the other team score. You need to keep the amount of times that you have the ball in your hand, you need to increase it. So for Trump to get all of those votes, it was because there was an influx of people, but he lost. Nobody says, when they say, oh, Trump got X amount of votes, they don't say, Biden got 80 million people. So you're discounting the 81 million people that he got, 80 or 81 million people that he got, because you got a lot of people? That is just a stupid argument. You lost. So we know that we keep trying to redeem these folks, but there are people who vote for Republicans because they're Republicans and Democrats because they're Democrats. They may not buy into Trump, but the truth is that we can't keep using that as an excuse to try to mend or bring those people along who voted for Trump for those for the crazy reasons that they voted for him. We have to stop doing that. Trump is irrelevant, even as a leader, even as a person. His humanity sucks. So when you hear him talk about, you know, ooh, they did this in Haiti or they did this in here, you're like the immoral or amoral person is telling us what we should do for other people? That is madness. We have to stop elevating that dude, and we need to call him the pariah that he is, right?
Yeah,
the colonizer that he is. All of those attitudes that he had, we can label his ass because he would do that to you without a hesitation or thought.
Yeah.
We need to be
absolutely correct about that. You're absolutely correct about that, Jerome. It's just unfortunate that we are in this space. All right, John, man, my apologies. We have a minute left, man, in this segment, man. Can you help me understand in a minute, sir?
I'm going to recap what everyone says and basically agree in principle. It's about power influence. It's about the foundation in which this country was built upon, this perception that the Caucasian male will be the person who will lead this country from here into existence. And in today's culture, if he can't, then his wife will. So that's that message that has been sold. So what you have is you got a reprobate, an immoral, ethically immoral and compromised individual that does not necessarily represent the ideologies of what people – well, put it this way, the core of what people believe, okay? But what he does, he represents the ideology of power and influence. So because he has made everybody fearful that now you're in jeopardy of losing that, he has a solid base. So when you hear Pence set back and support a group that wanted to kill him, it's because he does not want to lose that base, power and influence.
I tell you what a exhausting segment. All right, we're going to step out. 347-850-1272. It is time for part one of Marianne Music's Corner. Hope you guys enjoy. We'll be right back. The show continues. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. Keep it right here. 347-850-1272.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Another Tuesday, and we sleep in till when it's too late. 'Cause summer is whatever you say, so I don't mind at all, at all. It's a new place if we close our eyes and paint a new way. 'Cause somewhere is wherever you say, so summer.
far as I can see. So baby, come with me.
Be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them. Beat them.
Smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad today.
Oh, those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
Overnight, a defeat for the Biden administration. A federal appeals court temporarily reinstating enforcement of the nation's most restrictive abortion law, which recently took effect in the state of Texas. It bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat has been detected, usually around 6 weeks, before many women even know they're pregnant. And it has no exceptions for rape or incest. Abortion rights supporters are outraged, calling for the Supreme Court to step in. Opponents are celebrating. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton tweeting, "I will fight federal overreach at every turn." The Justice Department now has until Tuesday to respond as the case winds its way through the courts.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272. It's 7 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network. A Texas law severely restricting abortion rights by allowing citizens to sue abortion providers have been reinstated after a two-day pause. On Friday, the Fifth Court Circuit Court of Appeals issued an administrative stay on a previous ruling halting SB 8, which effectively bans abortions after about 6 weeks of pregnancy in response to a request by the state of Texas for a temporary stay. That stay blocks a Wednesday injunction by a federal district court in Texas, which briefly halted the law on the grounds that it violated the constitutional right to abortion access. The temporary stay is just the latest development in a September lawsuit filed by the Biden Justice Department against the state of Texas, which argues that SB 8 is unconstitutional. The suit has resulted in a whiplash-inducing back and forth by the courts this week, with the status of the reproductive health care in Texas hanging in the balance. For now, Friday's stay has blocked the district court's injunction, but it's still undecided whether it will remain in place long-term. Once again, my state back in the news. Let me start this segment off with you, John, because you didn't have enough time during the last segment. You know, I tell you, it goes back to what we've always say, that what we always say on the show is this, is that the GOP, you know, you see these folks out here knocking down vaccine signs, saying that the government can't do anything or shouldn't have a say on what I do with my body, but the only exception is a woman's right to choose. And for the first time during my natural lifetime, well, I'm not going to say the first time during my lifetime, the first time during my adulthood, I should say, I just took for granted that a woman would have the right to be able to choose whether or not she should have an abortion. Man, this thing is in jeopardy. And why is the Supreme Court, whose number one function is to uphold the Constitution of the United States, why are they sitting on their hands on this? And why did they allow this Texas law to actually go into effect anyway? They had the power to shut it down, but they didn't. Basically, they were saying in so many words, well, we're not going to infringe on our right to pass this law, but if someone then sues, then if it comes to us, then we'll take a look at it from a different perspective. Give me a thought on this one, man.
Right. Well, you know, first, the clarity that you just made is accurate, and certainly we believe in being factual. If not, we'll be just like that Fox channel and some of the other ones. The Supreme Court is just allowing the due process to take place and shape. At some point, it will come across the desk. You know, all of the tens of thousands, or hundreds of thousands of marchers and protesters last week, they will ultimately be the voice on how this passage goes. I'm not surprised if you think about what Trump was able to do with the appointments of, you know, well over, I think, 300 and some federal judges. So
yes,
he has the court systems at the federal level. So with that being said, you know, anything that is rebutted, they already have backdrops in place to go ahead and make sure that those legislations go through. Now, of course, they also have the Supreme Court as well. You know, my concern is this here, 2022 elections, 2024 elections, you know, you got the elder spokesman in the Supreme Court that's still hanging on, and certainly, you know, don't want to tell anybody to retire before their time.
Yeah.
But unless something is done at the Supreme Court level, this will continuously be a pattern. You're right, the hypocrisy that you hear so many of those maskless people saying, you know, it's my right to do this here, but yet you take the right away from the women. But the women are going to have to stand up and say, you know what, enough is enough. And the males who believe so passionately that our wives, our sisters, our mothers, our aunts, and anyone who has, these laws imposed upon them, they should be able to have some say in such a sensitive but yet a vital part of life. So, you know, I'm not going to take up a great deal of time other than the fact that, one, the Supreme Court at some point will eventually have to hear this case. But my concern would be the fact that if the Supreme Court and our court system, judicial system, is not shaped differently, then we will continuously see these type of impositions being placed upon people in all aspects.
Yeah. Jackie, I know that your time with us is limited. Give me your thoughts on this particular topic.
It's because I've said before, of course, I'm not for abortion, but I know it just seems like with this, what's going on in Texas, it gets to the point where it can get crazy after a while. I mean, talking about that you're going to sue the Uber drivers and stuff like that. So it gets a little just too much where, you know, because how can you sue Uber drivers and stuff like that? So it just gets real perplexing after a while. So that's just me. I just think it just can get kind of. And then they say they're not making any provisions for. See, I can understand
in
certain cases where maybe rape, incest, you know, maybe if it's somewhere it's maybe a threat to the mother's life if she's having some kind of issue where it's a threat to her life. So it just, it's a little much for me.
Yeah, it is, and I appreciate your concern. I can hear it in your voice, Ms. Delias. You know, Texas has been in the news a lot here lately, and it's a state that I reside from, obviously. But, you know, I'm just not happy with what's going on here. And I think this is a situation where, you know what, let me change my question for you. Because, you know, John said something that I thought, when he said it, I wanted to jump in, but I wanted him to finish his thought. Where are we with... No, we talked about how, well, John mentioned how Trump has appointed all these federal judges, and, you know, the Supreme Court is where it is. You know, a lot of people, I don't know who's, I think that may be you, Ms. Delias, with the noise, I'm not sure. But the Supreme Court, wow, it's bad. Let me see if I can try to control that a little bit. Okay, so the Supreme Court, you know, John talked about how we have these older people on the court. You know, a lot of people wanted Ruth Bader Ginsburg to get out while President Obama was still in office. She decided to stay, but all of a sudden she died, and Trump the ability to appoint his third and final Supreme Court justice. Now the court is leaning conservative, and there were talks at least in the very beginning of the Biden administration that one of the things that we're thinking about doing was increasing the number of justices on the Supreme Court. But the midterms are right around the corner. I mean, riddle me this. What's up with the administration? Why are they not looking into this and seriously making these making overtures or whatever the case may be to try to change the settings of the Supreme Court? Because if they don't do it now, I mean, come on. Do you honestly think that they're going to hold the House? They may lose both, the House and the Senate. And you know damn well they're not going to get anything done with McConnell in charge. So why isn't the focus on trying to increase the number of justices on the Supreme Court, in your opinion?
Well, they're trying to juggle too much all at once, Jay. To me, the first thing I would do is try and get the Voting Rights Bill passed. More than anything else, that would be the first thing I do, because right now our democracy is in peril right now. Right now they have the right to say that if they win an election, we don't like that guy, so now we're not going to vote for him. This is what they've come up with. So, hey man, you can say what you want to say about the Build Better Act or whatever. It's a great act. Don't get me wrong. It's what people like to see. But if you don't pass a Voting Rights Act, like the John Lewis Act and the Voting Rights Act, we're in peril right now. We're in trouble. Point to where it's that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish it.
You got the point to where it's that whoever, even if you have the 80 million votes that Biden had, they can come back and say, nah, we're going to discount all of those. We want this guy to win. And that's where we're at right now.
Okay, so let me jump in here because that comment right there really makes what I have to say is prevalent. Let me ask you a question. So are you saying that, and I know it's not a yes or no, but I'm just out of curiosity in your headspace, do you think it's more important to pass the voting rights law versus ensuring that we have a balanced Supreme Court?
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay.
Honestly, I do. Right. I do, because it gets rid of gerrymandering. It gets rid of all the other stuff that they got in place right now. And Manchin and Sinema will not stand behind it. So, knock yourself out.
All right. Okay. Well, let me apologize to Jerome because we have 2 minutes left. But I want to ask you, you know what? I'm not going to ask you anything. Man, just give me your thoughts in the last 2 minutes that we have left in a second, because, you know, I'm pretty sure you have some things you want to say.
No, ask me. Ask what you want to ask.
Well, I was going to ask the same question. Between the two, which one do you think is more important? I mean, ensuring that we have a balanced Supreme Court, because they're there forever. They're not going away. Or the Voting Rights Act or whatever thing that's going on in Congress right now. To me, in my opinion at least, I think the Supreme Court is the most important piece, but I could be wrong. Give me what do you think?
Well, I think you need to legislate. The legislature cannot, they interpret laws, they don't make them. So the Supreme Court always let off the hook by them saying, just change the law, right? So even with them voting down a part of the Civil Rights Act, it's just a matter of them changing the law, and then it'll make it irrelevant. But they won't do it. You can't blame the Supreme Court for that. They're conservative and crazy, yes. But they have one task. When the Supreme Court changed the civil rights legislation, Congress needed to redo the law, and they can't pass it. So Elias is right. If you go back and get rid of the filibuster and change all of this stuff back, then you can start from scratch and be like, okay, we need to change the Supreme Court. But Supreme Court interprets laws. They don't make laws. They're telling you how to interpret it. So even if they shoot down abortion, there would be some kind of caveat. But abortion is the law of the land. That's why the Republican states are pretty much changing their law, strict abortion, so it can go to the Supreme Court so they can have a chance to shoot it down. But once it gets to the Supreme Court has to rule that that law exists and you cannot stop people from having abortions. It's the law of the land, unless you repeal it, which means you need to have Congress repeal that. The Supreme Court can't do it. They're just restricting it. So they're just playing a game. The Republicans are playing a game just to get it to the Supreme Court so they can shoot down the overall law. But it is the law of the land, and you cannot restrict. I mean, you can restrict. You can put parameters around abortion, but abortion is legal in this country.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, hey, man, listen, that's why I asked you. Appreciate your response. All right. Part two of Mariana Music's Corner is coming up, plus our football picks. Good God, somebody did not do well, and I'm not going to tell you who it was. This is Sirius High. We'll be right back after this.
It is the best Sunday morning online radio show, period. Hi, I'm Jay, the host of the Serious Side of the TGRS, and I'm asking you to come join me and my friends for some serious conversation before you go to church. It's the Serious Side of the TGRS. Happens every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the BTR Radio Network.
Online radio at its best.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272 is the calling number. It's 28 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio. And it's best, of course, it's time to say good morning to the peeps. Let's say good morning to my main man, Mr. Johnny D, in the place to be, man. Good morning, John. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, doing wonderful. I tell you what, just stimulated by the conversations and topics. So, great show.
Good stuff as always, and I'm stimulated by your responses. You are the man who gets the first and last word, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S is in the house. So, good morning, Mr. Elias. How are you?
Good morning to you, my brother, and good morning, Marianne the Music. Good morning, Vanessa. Good morning, Mr. Sister. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Momo B. And good morning, my brother, Hawk. Good morning, my brother, Jerome. And Marianne the Music, that first song on the agenda was Come With Me by Surface on Tour and Celine Leaf. And the other one was Anita Baker, Sometimes.
Ooh, I love that song, Sometimes. Thank you, Mr. Elias. All right, the smartest man in the world is in the house as well, Mr. Jerome Shreeman. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, man. Good morning. I'm good. How you doing?
Jerome, you know everybody's all, hey, Jerome. Jerome, hey, man, how you doing? I'm doing fine, brother. I smile on the leg on my brother.
I'm fine. You
appreciate
know, I'm trying to read him, but I'm good. I'm good, man. Hey, where's my girl Vanessa at? I ain't hear her voice today.
She's in the woods somewhere in Texas.
Good.
Hanging out with
trapping
armadillos and deers. Yeah, she's
all right.
Hanging out with
hey,
wild
hey,
boys.
Vanessa. yes. And everybody, who did last named everybody, so I didn't want to rename everybody, but peace to everyone that I didn't get a chance to say good morning to earlier.
Good stuff. Mr. Elias, man, can we say hello to some people in the chat room, if you don't mind, sir?
By all means, we got Covina, man, and with sisters in there with us. And that's it, that's in there with us.
What's up, what's up, what's up? I want to say what's up to the pastor. How you doing, pastor? Praise God. Give him all the glory. What's up, Rebecca? What's going on? Chauncey, that's a cool name. Let's see here. Troy's in the house. So many people checking us out. I want to say what's up to my girl Momo P as well. Rob Smooth, the brother with the alligator shoes. And my boy is in the house, my big brother from another mother. My main man, Home Team, is in the place to be. Listening in, you know him from back in the old days. Just give me 2 minutes. All right, just give me 2 minutes. All right, folks, you know what time it is. It is time for something that I must admit that some of us are not very good at, but it's time for our football pick. Here we go. All right, folks. Someone had a bad week last week. Somebody had a bad, bad, bad week last week. And that somebody would be me. Oh, Jesus Christ. I got clobbered last week. Good googly moogly. I went, what? Oh, my God. I went 3-4. Horrible. All right, but I'm going to try to fix myself. I'm going to try to redeem myself this week. Johnny T actually was the man last week. 5-2. Go ahead on, John, with your bad self. Do your thing. You redeemed yourself from a 1-4 start. So since you are the man this week, we're going to start with you with our first pick of the day. Denver, Pittsburgh. I think I know where you're going, but I want to hear you say it, sir.
Hey, 47 years, black and yellow, black and gold Steelers.
Oh, man, you need to stop. That's going to really hurt you, brother. That's one of the losses you took last week, too. You better start using your football IQ and get off the board.
I tell you what, this is the week right here. Every week is the week. Remember that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, John. All right, Jerome, man, who do you have in that game, sir?
You know what? I can't go against Pittsburgh either. They got to win one. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
Oh, they got to win. Thank you for the lofty expectations. He said they got to win one.
No. Okay, I always just said, okay, so I'm not a big Pittsburgh fan,
I always pull for Pittsburgh, so I'm just going to put it out that way. Because you know what? They lost, and that was unexpected to me. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. I'm not going to bet against them. Because I'd be wrong if they won, and I wanted them. I'm going to pull for them anyway. So, hey, I might as well give them all of my energy.
Hey, you know the only one I want to root against Pittsburgh every week is Slap Rock. That's Jay.
Hey, well, look, your wish is my command. All right, because I'm going with Denver. You got it, buddy. What about you, Mr. Elias? Who you got this game?
I'm going with Denver as well, Jay.
Oh, there it is. Uh-huh. Now you are on his list, boy. You are going with the Denver Broncos as well. All right, next up, Tampa Bay, Miami. Mr. Elias, man, who you got?
Tampa Bay, Jay.
All right, what about you, John?
Tampa.
What about you, Jerome?
Not Brady.
Okay, so that's the opposite direction. So there's a loss coming for you this week. And I'm going with Tampa
Miami.
Bay. You think
that ain't a loss
for
me. That's a loss for you. That's a loss for you.
Oh, well.
You make that happen.
Or for every, whatever. All right,
hey,
so now, here we go.
First one go against Pittsburgh, next one go against Miami. You wrong for that.
That's right, brother. I am. And guess what? I'm going to make it a clean sweep. All right, here we go. Washington, New Orleans. Jerome, man, who do you have in that game?
Okay, I'm going to go for Winston.
Okay.
I'm going to go
all
with
right.
Jameis.
Oh, wow, that's good. This is a tough pick. All right, what about you, Mr. Elias?
Washington.
Ooh, what about you, John?
All right, where are they playing at?
They're
playing in New Orleans, so.
That's right.
I'm going for Washington.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going with New Orleans, so we're split on those games, gentlemen. All right, next game up. Philly, Carolina. John, where do you stand on that one?
Come back.
And they are playing in Carolina.
I tell you what, I'm gonna go with Carolina.
Your home
I ain't
state.
A Carolina fan, but I'm gonna go with Carolina. Yeah, I go with Carolina.
How are you not a Carolina fan and you live in the state? But that's okay.
Man,
that's
I'm
your
a Pittsburgh
pick.
Steelers
right.
fan. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Everybody knows that's why you keep losing. All right, good. You're going with Carolina. All right, what about you? What about you, Jerome? Who you going with?
Philly.
All right. What about you, Mr. Elias?
Carolina.
Oh wow, we're split on this one too because you know I'm going with Philly because that's what I do. I'm going
that's
with my
you
team.
Lost last week.
That is correct. Whatever, Mr. Elias. All right, Chicago, Las Vegas. Jerome, who do you have in that game?
All right, since the coach said something racist, I'm going to go with everybody but Vegas.
Really? Wow. Okay, I didn't know that. What about you, Mr. Elias?
I'm going with Vegas, man.
You don't care about racism. You're just trying to lie in your pockets. What about you, Johnny D?
You know what? I'm going to go with the Raiders. And Jerome right about that comment Groot made about the attorney for the Players Association said he had Michelin lips. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, if you said that, I'm going to Chicago. And I'm with you, Jerome. Forget that, man. My principles stand for something. Yeah, I'm in with y'all.
Yeah.
Those two traders over there. We're split this week. All right, last game of the week. Buffalo, Kansas City. I know where you're going, Mr. Elias. What about you, Jerome?
I would go with Buffalo.
Oh, wow. Didn't see that one coming. What about you, John?
Hey, Buffalo. Buffalo is tough, man.
What? Oh, my God, these dudes, man. Mr. Elias, I'm with you on this one, bro. They are crazy. They have lost their minds. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to take a loss next week because, man, that's a crazy pick y'all two picked. All right, with their end, we suck. I do at least. But nevertheless, we're going to do it. All right, folks, quick break. We'll be right back after this.
America is starting to breathe again. A decent man as president, a plan to protect us. It feels almost normal, but it's not. Republicans still will not admit that President Biden was legally elected, which means they don't believe in democracy. They believe an election is only legitimate if they win. That's not democracy. Their plan? Pass voter suppression bills to block minorities from voting, take back Congress, impeach President Biden. We refuse. We refuse to accept the end of the American experiment. We refuse to allow anti-democratic autocrats to steal our country. We choose to fight, and we will not lose. Join us.
The monthly totals bounce around, but if you take a look at the trend, it's solid.
As only 194,000 jobs were added in September, way below the figure economists predicted for the second month in a row. But unemployment ticked down to 4.8%, the lowest it's been since the pandemic started.
A significant improvement from when I took office and a sign that our recovery is moving forward, even in the face of a COVID pandemic.
The president blaming the Delta variant for derailing growth, peaking just as data for the report was collected.
Since then, we've seen the daily cases fall by more than one-third, and they're continuing to trend down. We're continuing to make progress.
Republican critics slammed the president for the sluggish numbers. Congressman Kevin Brady writing, if this were a football team with this losing record, the coach would be searching for a new job at this point.
All right, a majority of voters disapprove of President Biden's job performance, according to a new Quinnipiac poll, which found the president is struggling to keep support among independent voters in particular. The poll found 38% of those surveyed approved of Biden's job approval performance, which 53% disapproved. Wow, those are Trump numbers. Biden's numbers dropped from the Quinnipiac poll released last month that found 42% had approved of his performance and 50% disapproved. The dip can largely be contributed to Biden's loss of support among independents, 60% of whom say they disapprove his job performance. In September, the poll found 52% of independents gave Biden a poor mark. Let me start right there. Jerome, when we look at these numbers, I mean, we all know that during the midterms, the office that occupies the White House really has a tough toe, a heavy burden. They're facing headwinds, but my goodness, man, those numbers are Trump numbers, man. What do you talk to me about that, man? Are you concerned about his numbers, or is it like, you know what, polls are polls, I don't really give a damn?
No, I'm not. I wouldn't be concerned. If I was him, I wouldn't be concerned about those numbers at all. I mean, just, again, you have a whole news channel, like, that's a propaganda channel, just negatively impacting what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, they're constantly on him. A friend of mine was saying that she was driving through Virginia, and she said there's billboards, like not one or two, but billboards as she was driving through there saying that Biden supports the Taliban and has him with a turban on. Like, they spend marketing money to bring those numbers down. That is an artificial impression. And sometimes that can hurt you, but those are artificial impressions, and I wouldn't worry too much about it, because – even the people who are saying, oh, he's just as bad as Trump, I wouldn't rely on them to tell me if it was raining outside, right? Because the truth is that they're negotiating, they're making sausage, they're negotiating how a budget works and how the system works, but Fox is, you know, blowing it up. They're blowing it up to be like, you know, what about Hunter Biden? And they're bringing all of this ancillary stuff in there that's just impression. So your popularity will go down if somebody marketed against you. If we came on this show every day saying something negative about one person, that person will always, to the listeners, they will say, you know, I like what they said, or I understand them, but I feel this kind of way about them. That's what they're doing to Biden. Biden's not doing anything to help himself. It's just like, I was in the store and see a National Enquirer, and it's like, is Biden fit for office? Remember they did that with Hillary.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, she fell down the stairs. Yeah. She might not be fit. She might be having seizures. You keep doing that enough, that leaves an impression on people, and they're good at this. So you can't read the Inquirer. You know that's Trump's boy. You know that Fox is GOP, and as those guys keep putting that stuff out there, you're getting an impression. You're being brainwashed to something.
So his numbers are artificially reflected in all the negative press that he's getting, kind of that's seeping in people's consciousness. It has nothing to do with his workflow or what he's doing or what he has or has not been able to do. No president is going to do what you want them to do.
Yeah, I'm just amazed at the sharp decline, to be honest with you, and the fact that, and I've said this all along, John, and we have about 5 minutes left in the segment. I've said this all along, that, the Republicans are obstructionists, and they know that people are not following this close enough to know exactly what they're doing, right? So what they do is they run interference, they don't pass anything, they just sit by idly. Like this whole debt ceiling crap. I mean, first of all, this didn't even come prevalent until President Obama was in office, where all of a sudden this is something that usually goes on behind closed doors. Now it's in the national spotlight because what they're trying to do is run interference. You know, Mitch McConnell famously said he wanted President Obama to be a one-term president, which he failed. But so they sit back and do these things, and they know that it's going to disrupt stuff, John. And so all they know, and this is what they're banking on, and that's why I say the low information voter, you guys need to take heed to what's going on. All they know is people are going to sit back and say, huh, my situation ain't got any better. Things are getting a little worse. We can't get no money. And Biden's in office. You know, I keep saying he's not the king of the United States. He's the president. So the Republicans know exactly what they're doing, John. It's amazing to watch one political party who has just thrown in the towel, and their whole objective in life is to seek power, and while they're not in power, not to participate in the process. So you.
They have been almost surgical in their inability to govern, but yet still win. But let's look at this here, okay? The approval rating is not as low as Trump's was, okay? But now certainly among 38%? Some of the modern day, absolutely. Now the last poll I saw was 44%, which Trump's was lower than his at this point in his presidency. Now amongst others, I mean, he is certainly lower, but now he has had some devastating, you know, world events. I don't know if he ever rebounds from Afghanistan, okay? And then you've got the pandemic. You got to get people healthy. Then you've got the war of lies and just the blatantness, the fact that, okay, I'm going to refute anything that he says. I mean, let's not forget on that reprobates watch, we had a coup attempt in the United States that really went unaddressed. Certainly there are some people getting locked up now. But they want to address. Let's talk about the fact that the government actually shut down at least three occasions while that reprobate was in office. Okay, let's talk about the fact that they raised the debt ceiling on multiple occasions during that reprobate's watch. But the reality of it is you talk about the job market. Probably what's dictating that is the fact that no one wants to work. So why would a company go out and generate, you know, 100 jobs when they can do 10 because they're not getting the applicants? So you got to look deeper into the process where, yeah, those numbers and stuff are reflecting one thing, but tell me how many employers are sitting out there going bankrupt and saying, look, I can't get nobody to work. So why create jobs when ain't nobody trying to work?
Wow. I'm going to do a little research into that. That's interesting. I didn't drill down on that one. Wow. That's interesting point. All right, Mr. Stelly, you have 3 minutes left, man. You get the first and last word. Give me your thoughts on this particular topic.
Well, you know something, Jay? They need to, if they could pass any damn thing, if Sinema and Manchin would get off their asses and pass any damn thing, it would be a much better outlook. But hell, they're infighting. You know,
how would that have an effect on Biden's approval rating, though, Mr. Elias?
Because people look, they don't look, like you said, they don't look and say that he's not the king. They're looking and saying, Biden's in charge. We're not getting anything done.
Look at this happening. Look at that happening. This is what they do. They don't look and see
what's happening in Congress. It's the low information voter. So that's what's happening.
Bottom line is that they're not passing anything in Congress. So if that passes, if you got jobs that are plentiful that are making, because if you got infrastructure bills, job passing, you got jobs that are making more, way more than minimum wage. So a lot of people are happy. You got all the people that you're losing right now, the union members that you're losing, and all the other people that are low information voters that'll say, hey, look what's happening. Biden is getting this done. Because, you know, damn well, there's a lot of people are saying the reason that the stock market is tanking, which is not, it's at an all-record high right now. But they're saying because they're not making the same amount of their money they're making is because Biden's in office. Biden is, you know, you got to look at it for what it's worth. The buck stops with him no matter how you look at it. No matter how you look at it, the buck stops with him. So if they would pass anything, any bill, anything, and Manchin and Sinema are holding up everything, I guarantee his approval rating would go up.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't know. We can put blame at their feet every day, and you're right. There are things that they should be doing, but at the end of the day, you know, Biden, I'm just shocked at the numbers. And, you know, 38% is not good. I mean, 38%, those are Trump numbers. And it just kind of goes back to something that we talked about earlier in the show. I just don't understand where people's mindsets are.
I want to say something about that. I understand what you're saying, but again, we're taking like daily polls of stuff, right? People's temperatures go up and down. And Elias is absolutely correct. If they would have passed that stuff early, people would have said, oh, we got infrastructure money, people are doing stuff, this wouldn't be happening. It is the Democrats, the Democrats who are slowing this down are causing this impression, which allows Fox to give you a different, to do propaganda. And so you're like, well, they're not doing anything. If they would have passed infrastructure a long time ago and then, you know, overruled the filibuster and got that John Lewis Voting Rights Act thing done, then people right now would be feeling really good about the progression that this doggone country is making. And all they see is people treading water. So they're blaming Biden for the fact that Congress is treading water. He can't do anything to make Congress do, and he cannot do that. The only thing he could do is pretty much, you know, what he's done, right? Like, even expanding health care. He opened up the markets a little longer so that people can get health care because Trump shortened them and said, hey, if you don't have health care by this day, we close the markets early. He even extended that by about 4 months. And now the markets are about to open back up in, you know, mid-October to have people sign up for affordable health care again. Like, he's doing administrative stuff that's helping people. But the impression is that they're watching this daily fight on the news about the debt ceiling and all this other stuff, and it's just frustrating. So if you're polling people, you're only getting the people who are watching this like a movie. And that's who you're polling. You're not polling real people at this point. You're polling people who like political theater.
Interesting. All right, it has to be the last word. We'll be right back after this.
1 in 8. Your best friend? Your sister? You? If 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer, then it affects all of us. But together we can raise awareness, fund research, and fight for a cure. The end of breast cancer starts with you.
All right, folks, it is time for Pastor Steve's State Your Case, where we read comments from the world-famous chat room and from the social media sites that we monitor throughout the course of the show, and Mr. Elias, as always do. You have anything you want to add before I get into some of the comments that we have? We don't have a lot of time.
Yes, Corina Man said one of the biggest mistakes that Biden has made may have been the choice of Attorney General. If there aren't any indictments on Trump and the company soon, by the AG. Biden needs to replace Garland with C.Y. Vance from New York City.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
I agree with that.
Wow. Wow, good stuff. What else? You have anything else you want to read?
That's it. That's it.
All right, let me read a couple here. Actually, I can just read three. All right, Pastor, obviously you get yours. Pastor, peace and blessings, family. Congrats to Johnny D on what I like to call the next chapter. Be blessed, my friend, and may God bless whatever you decide to do in your future endeavors, with the exception of any of your future endeavors does not include this show. All right, John, there you go. All right, Cynthia from Las Vegas. Jay, your comments on Trump were spot on. Y'all helped me. Oh, I like the way you did that. Y'all helped me to understand the nonsense of the Republican Party. Look at you, a play on the words. I like that, Cynthia. Raymond from Pittsburgh. He says, John, keep picking those Steelers. As a person who was born and raised in Pittsburgh, we welcome you on the team, my brother. You know, Raymond, man, I wasted some good airtime reading that nonsense. Good God, if I didn't know you were going to say that, I would have skipped right past it. And on that note.
Online radio at its best.
They don't call me a hater for nothing. It's time for our final thoughts and the man of the hour, most popular man on our chat board today, Mr. Johnny D, and the Place to Be Man final thoughts.
Right. Well, I certainly want to thank the good pastor for his well wishes, certainly keep me in prayer, and Brother Raymond out of Pittsburgh. Thank you for welcoming me to the Steel City. So, but again, once again, this is one of the highlights of my week here. And Jay, like I say, man, just appreciate you, Jerome, Les, Miss Vanessa, Dr. Williams, Miss Jackie, Momo B, just everyone who has allowed me an opportunity to just kind of learn from you all week to week. And at some point I will get it right. But the core of it is what Miss Vanessa is out there doing right now, serving her community. And that's that piece where it, for me, it became more about the action than it is about the verbal. So thank you, my brother, like I say, man, for 37 years now, Jay.
Oh, man.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, definitely. Like I say, I think it's 37, going on 37, man. And in January, it should be 37. Like I say, love you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Love you.
Oh, man, look here, man. I feel the love, brother. You know, nothing but love for you. And can't wait to spend more time with that family of yours that you have. They've been missing out on Uncle Jay, man. We got to make up for all that time. It's a beautiful thing, man. Love you.
Absolutely.
As always.
Absolutely.
Watch yourself, John. Watch yourself.
You know what? That was a hater. Who's the new hater today?
Brother Les, he good.
Yeah,
he good.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Get my back. All right, another brother that I love as well, my main man, Mr. Jerome Esprit. Man, final thoughts, Jerome.
Yes, sir. You know what? I'm going to defer my final thought to Brother Les. I'll give them a little extra time today. You'll be hearing me in a few minutes talk about everything under the sun, so I can defer my final thoughts.
Well, there you go. A good Samaritan as well, my main man. So, Mr. Les, the mic is yours. The man who gets the first and last word, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S. Final thoughts. Okay, there you go. So you give it to him. The no-hitter is gone.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, the no-hitters, every week this guy messes up the no-hitter. Every week.
Look.
Well, actually, I messed it up earlier, but that's okay. Go ahead.
I did. Be quiet.
I did.
So be quiet.
Go ahead.
It wasn't a no-hitter at all. So, look.
Whatever.
Reach out to Joe Manchin and Christian Sinema. I mean, call, text, email, whatever you got to do to tell these clowns to stop being obstructionists. Tell them to pass the Voting Rights Act. If they don't do anything else, tell them to pass the Voting Rights Act and the John Lewis bill so that we can move on from all the stuff that the Republican Party are doing. But they don't want to vote on anything, and they don't want to tell you what they want. This is the bad part of them too. They'll stop things from coming through, but then they'll say, what do you want? The thing of negotiation, folks, is that you got to tell somebody what you want. I can't guess what you want. Christian Sinema won't even say anything, and then Joe Manchin speaks and begs. So, folks, you need to get out there, and I call almost every day to that office, to the Senate office, and ask them, why aren't they passing these bills? Because They got to do something besides sitting on their hands. And I don't understand why Manchin is so against what's so popular in this state. And so, and this is popular in all their states, but they don't care. They don't want to pass anything.
I want to send a very special what's up to a young lady by the name of Tabitha Johnson out of Midland, Texas. She sent me a wonderful video clip of her daughter asking, who wanted to ask me a question. And the question she asked me was, why do people hate me because of the color of my skin? Tabitha, I'm going to tell you, I can't get into all the response today because we're running out of time, but I'm going to tell you this. That video touched me to where I shedded tears. For a young girl to sit here and have that question on her heart at such a young age tells me that this country is going in the wrong direction. Sweetie, nobody hates you because of the color of your skin. People hate you because they're ignorant. And sweetie, I'm going to reach out to you in a video message and send it to you. But Tabitha, thank you so much for sharing that. It just brought me to tears when I saw it. God bless you. God bless your daughter. God bless your family. And I hope everything works out for you and yours. And on that note, Mr. Elias, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rao Show.
Folks, it's been a pleasure to serve you as always, and we appreciate you, what you do. Mask up. So for John, for Jackie, for Jerome, for Mr. Elias, I'm J. Rao. Say have a wonderful work week. Remember, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side of the J. Rao Show. Coming up next on a need-to-know basis with my main man, Mr. Jerome Esprit. Have a blessed weekend, y'all. Take care.
The First Lady dazzles on election night in a...
Tell me, what do you want me to do?
Pledge allegiance
to
the flag of the United States of America.
All right, folks, you know what time it is. It is time for On a Need-to-Know Basis with my main man, Mr. Jerome Esprit. Mr. Jerome, man, what did you and Mr. Elias have on the agenda? I got to step out because I got to deal with my mom. But, hey, guys, have a great show. Jerome, man, what's on the topic for today?
Hey, all right, well, there's quite a few things. But first I want to say, before you leave, I don't know if you saw, like, Saturday Night Live or anything, because I didn't,
no,
and I refused to watch it.
I did.
But... they had that little Kardashian girl as host of the Saturday Night Live. And it just proves to you, proves to all of us, that you can have no talent and make a lot of money in this country.
who was on there?
Kanye's wife. Or
Oh, wow. Kim Kardashian or her? Okay. Well,
yeah, I was trying not to say her name. Thanks, Jay. All I'm saying
sorry. My
is
bad.
That you can literally do nothing. And so, again, and hopefully the person who, you know, you were just talking to and you want to reach out to her about her daughter, ask me that question about people not liking you for the color of your skin. Because for the color of her skin, she is on Saturday Night Live.
Wow,
so it
wow.
is something to do with
yeah.
what you're in.
Well, yeah, but it has something to do
no,
with something else,
kid,
too. I mean,
so it's a little different. I'm not saying don't tell her that. I'm just saying the truth, yeah, I was just saying for the adults in the room that we all know that girl is there for a different reason, right?
Yeah.
We just don't have black folks with no talent getting, you know, making millions of dollars. They just don't do that.
Yeah.
We have black people with talent who ain't making no money. Melba Moore could be a multimillionaire. Yeah, like I'm just saying,
that's
if you
true.
Want to
that's
talk about somebody
that's
who has
true.
Talent, who don't have a,
wow.
we watch Unsung all day where black people with talent
mm-hmm.
don't get jacked. But we watch to promote these folks that have no talent just to, you know, fit into pop culture. When
yeah.
you know, and I recently had this conversation.
Wow.
Someone said that I want to build my brand. There's nothing that drives me crazier than anybody that says that. Because you know where they got that from? Those
where?
Fools, the Kardashians and Paris Hilton. Her last name's Hilton. She ain't got no brain.
Yeah.
Her brain is a bunch of hotels. So,
yeah, her brain is
know,
already out there.
Exactly. What was? Because remember they had this show. The only reason the Kardashian girl is famous
It's for two things.
Yeah.
She was friends with Paris Hilton when Paris Hilton had that show with the Richie girl, right?
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah, Nicole Richie.
Right? So both of them have last names, so they had a show. Kardashian was the friend of the Hilton girl. And
Paris
then she had
Hilton,
a sex tape. And now she's
And then she was Brandy's assistant.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? That's how Wayne and AJ hooked up.
Exactly. So so you can get famous, and it's such a crazy way to get famous and to make money, but that's only for a certain few that can do that.
Yes.
That's
true.
I thought that was interesting that they actually promoted her and brought all of these stars back for put her on Saturday Night Live for nothing. Just for nothing. But anyway, I didn't see it, so y'all can see y'all letters today. Y'all can see y'all letters today about that. I won't watch stuff like that. I watch that just as much as I watch football, hence my football picks probably won't be that great today. But anywho, I'm not watching her.
Yeah, they're probably
And I'm
won't.
Not watching Dave's going to hate. But I'm telling you, again, Kaepernick. I am still in my Kaepernick mode of dealing with the NFL.
I'm down with that, too. Hey, good stuff.
Yeah, I'm
that's
still
why we
down
didn't
with
do
Kaepernick.
Picks last year because of my man. You're right. All right, fellas. Y'all got it. I got to get going, guys. Have a great show.
All right, man. All right. Now, our first story, you know, United Airlines will operate, they said, 3,500 daily domestic flights in December, which is 91% of what they flew just before the pandemic. So they're saying their demands are returning to normal. Yeah. So they said they announced several new direct routes for the winter. You know, and they said they're going to take it from cold weather cities in the Midwest to warmer destinations in the Southwest. So they added Southwest as, like, routes in there. But American Airlines is increasing their flights. Although, if you're employed, you don't get vaccinated, you still won't have no job. But that's another story.
Yeah.
We'll go to that one later.
They're telling me.
Yep. Now, IBM became the latest company to tell its U.S.-based employees that they must be vaccinated against COVID-19 by December 8th or face unpaid suspension. So they said they employ 100,000 people in the U.S., over 100,000 people. And they said their workers must comply with mandate for federal contractors. And so, you know, and again, that's another thing where people are just kind of losing their mind over. But people are dying for real in this. So you can't just arbitrarily act as if, oh, you know what, it's fake news or it's false or something, right? Now, I have to say there's a news story out, or there's a study that just came out that said natural COVID infections produce a stronger secondary immune response than the vaccine. So they're saying this memory B cell continues to evolve and get stronger for at least several months after a natural infection produces the antibodies that neutralizes like new variants. So the vaccine induces less B cells. Now, here's the trick of that study. Don't let this fool you, because you're playing Russian roulette. You can get that virus and die, or you can get that virus and have a strong immune response. Now, if you want to gamble, gamble. But it's kind of stupid for somebody to say, hey, I just want to get the virus because I can have a stronger immune response. You don't know how your body is going to get that virus. You know, you'll be like, if I recovered, I'm going
to
be good.
Yesterday, and he watched it say Friday in Menards, and he was telling me, man, I had the virus, and I'm not getting that shot, man, because you know, I'm gonna lose my job. I said, well, I guess you'll be losing your job then, man. What do you want me to say to you? You know, he said,
right.
You've been vaccinated, cuz? I said, I most definitely have. Yeah,
right.
He was, oh man, he was just tripping on me, cuz I was like, hey man, I'm not doing that. I'm not playing this game with you no more. I'm not.
Right.
Yeah.
They want the interaction,
just to have the conversation. It's like, that's not smart. You just have to keep telling them you're not being smart, because once you get that virus, then you get to see how your body reacts to it. And that's not smart, right?
Yeah.
You don't have underlying conditions. People have, like, conditions all the time that they don't know about. But that virus is going to highlight it in you if you have some kind of underlying condition. You should not want to get that virus just to prove anybody wrong. And speaking of that, Republican challenger, I guess Greg Abbott in Texas, their governor, is being challenged in the primary by, Crazy Alan West. So,
oh, really?
On Saturday, West, who was unvaccinated and is trying to get the Republican nomination for governor, said that he and his wife contracted coronavirus despite being, what he said was, "I like to thank all of you for your prayers," is what he said on Saturday. "Angela and I just completed a monoclonal antibody infusion therapy and are in the observation period. There's a concern about my oxygen saturation levels," right? And what he's saying still is he's still fighting against the vaccination mandate, but he received monoclonal antibodies. So what happened is he caught the virus,
wow,
had enough money to get the treatment, and saying, "Y'all don't need to get vaccinated." Now, that's how crazy these people are.
Really?
Now, if he didn't believe that virus, he had pneumonia. If he didn't believe that virus was bad, he shouldn't have got the antibodies. He'd be like, "I'm going to be all right."
He shouldn't have.
He stayed his butt home.
Yeah.
They shouldn't even took him to the hospital. Right? So
they said that Trump was closer to death than people thought he was, man. They didn't let on. I was like, yeah, I don't doubt it.
Yep. Yep. And we'll still go ahead and act like, hey, everything's good. Y'all can go ahead and ignore what everybody else is saying. Now, Seattle Police Department is preparing to fire up to 40% of its cops if they fail to get vaccinated by October 18th. So the mayor, Jenny Durkin, set the police vaccination mandate deadline for October 18th. They said if all 403 unvaccinated officers are let go, the police department will lose 37% of its employees.
Well,
but she is not.
Wow.
You know, being an adult, again, I'm not a big person on vaccinations. I'm not at all. But we're in a pandemic. People are dying. Like, don't be crazy. That's all I have to say about that. I mean, you can be crazy, but don't. It's not necessary. Don't be crazy. Now, William Shatner, former Star Trek icon William Shatner, who's 90 years old, will become the oldest person ever to visit space. Now, Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin confirmed that he'll be aboard the next flight. Now, again, you can see what marketing is, right? There's no reason for William Shatner to bring his 90-year-old butt up in space. But it's good promotion for Bezos' company. So he's like, hey, you want to be the oldest person to go to space? He's like, I ain't doing nothing. You know, he's sitting here, sitting here playing bingo. Hey, okay, so here we go with keeping it real goes wrong. He was like,
yep.
You don't really. Yeah. I could crack a lot of jokes here, but I'm just gonna tell you they're not elderly jokes more than they are stupidity jokes. Like that is
really?
For just to do that, just to do it is not. I don't know. It just seems a little crazy. It's not safe yet, William Shatner. It ain't like you're taking an air. You're on a Concorde or something. You're trying to go up in space and come back. All right. Now Alaska declares a healthcare crisis, which allows doctors to ration care and choose those critically ill patients to treat during their bed shortage that was caused during the COVID-19 spike. So the state health leaders activated the protocols on Saturday after Alaska recorded its highest COVID case diagnosis rate in the nation. They're the highest in the nation is Alaska.
Not even,
wow.
I don't think they have more people than Columbus, Ohio. But Alaska has the highest percentage, you know,
wow.
COVID cases. Yeah. So they said they're allowing them to ration care. And again, if you could have got vaccinated and you chose not to, when they ration care, I'm thinking they should ration to the people who got the shot first before they do the people who are unvaccinated. That's your choice.
Really?
That is your choice. Now, a Louisiana hospital, Louisiana's largest hospital system, will fine employees with unvaccinated spouses $200 a month. Now, I don't know if I get this one, but they said if they don't get the COVID-19 vaccine by the end of the month, they are going to fine you, if your spouse, $200 if you have unvaccinated spouses. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought that was interesting. So the spouses and domestic partners who are not vaccinated against COVID-19, you're going to get fined. I don't know how they're going to know if they're who you live with. I don't know how you do that as an employer. It's like, who do you live with, and show proof of their vaccination. Now, this is Louisiana, a Republican state that don't believe in any government intervention. How are they going to find out who is vaccinated and not in your house?
Really?
I just want to put that out there. I just want them to help me out. Now, the French Catholic Church had at least 3,000 criminal pedophiles working since World War II, according to a new report. They said a commission that said that there had been between 2,900 and 3,200 criminal pedophiles that was in the Church of France, since 1950.
Wow.
And check this out. In other news, the Pope expressed his shame at the scale of the French Catholic Church child abuse and sadness over the suffering of 330,000 victims after that report came out, found that nuns used crucifixes to rape girls, is what it had in that report.
What?
So Pope Francis said he expressed his personal shame is not what you should be expressing right now.
Really?
Right?
Wow.
It was his personal shame at the scale of the child abuse carried out by clergy that saw attacks of, that's between 1950 and 2020. 330,000.
Wow. Damn. Wow.
You know, again, I'm not knocking religion generally, but people will drop out of a black church because they think that the pastor's wife is spending their money incorrectly. we will jump out because look at her wearing that big hat on, dressing like my aunt did yesterday. Like, they will get petty stuff and fall out of black churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Over 300,000 children.
Oh, my God, man.
I'm still going to see the Pope and see how he's doing.
Yeah,
now,
really? Wow.
Okay, again, this is all in the same week. These are not various stories. But also in the news, a priest was absolved of raping an altar boy in his first sexual abuse trial heard by the Pope's criminal court. Now, not only are they identifying them and then they're trying them, and the very first priest was absolved from raping the altar boy.
Oh my God.
Happened this week. So hours after Pope Francis expressed his shame for the French Catholic Church abuse, the Vatican Tribunal absolved Father Gabriel Martinelli, now 29, of charges that he repeatedly raped a boy while he was an altar boy between 2006 and 2012. This was recent, and he did that at the Vatican's youth seminary, and they absolved him of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can go a long way on this story, but it would seem like on a Sunday that I'm bashing Catholics, but I don't know how you say. You know what
really?
I mean?
Really? My God, man. What's really going on?
Whatever rituals that people have going on in these situations, I don't know, but I think the death penalty is, you know, a lot of people are like, we should get rid of death penalty. When you raping children, I am all for it. I'll vote for that.
Yes, there's no reason.
Man, you don't have no child, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And the church is like, we feel bad and saddened over the suffering of victims. It's like, oh, they're not suffering. They have already suffered. Like, this is not something that you could just blow off like, you know, I lost my football picks. Like, that ain't, it ain't that. You know,
really?
I'm not even
wow.
over that. I'm just saying, that's disappointing. But the fact is that they're downplaying the fact that this abuse stuff is happening. And again, we're doing this on news because although these are current news stories, we're getting no play on national TV. People are sitting there talking, lying about Biden and all this other stuff and listening to Trump. But these stories are people are ignoring. So I guess that's why everybody's listening. So, you know, an accidental leak revealed that the U.S. government has secretly hit Google with a keyword search warrant to identify anyone searching for certain names, addresses, and phone numbers. So cybersecurity experts fear that keyword warrants set a precedent for breaching the protections against unreasonable searches. And Google, however, has defended their decision to respond to these warrants. So all this means is that if you have a Google browser and you're keyword searching on some file stuff, the government can get a warrant and actually find out everything that you're searching. And they have been doing it. It's not that they can. They have been doing it. So I don't know what I think about that, but using Google is still kind of the government. Facebook is the government. They are still kind of interlinked in ways that you can't imagine. And they should be able to do it in some cases, but they're saying if they get a warrant, they can keyword search anything and say, pull up everybody who tried to learn how to make banana pudding. Like, they can pull anybody up for anything. I'm being frivolous for a reason because it's going to be sad on the other stuff, but yeah. Now, the NBA also warned unvaccinated players that they could be arrested if they break quarantine in Toronto and Los Angeles. They became the third league city to pass COVID-19 vaccination mandates. So I'm the third league to pass this. So the NBA has informed its players that they could face criminal charges if unvaccinated and they breach quarantine in Toronto due to Canada's travel restrictions. This is going to say a lot about people like, I know there's a lot of people who have not a lot. I think 90-something percent of the people in the NBA are vaccinated. But the popular Kyrie Irvings and those guys of the world, they are risking losing a lot of money just to not get vaccinated. And again, I'm okay. You know, I believe that you have choices. But the fact that I had to be vaccinated to go to kindergarten, to get into kindergarten, was choice. I could have been homeschooled. That would have been a choice. But we had to have vaccinations when we went to school. And that's kind of how I look at it. Now, you know how there's a new study out that says carrying a baby in a sling or a wrap to put them at risk for infants falling, you know, falling out, or the person who's wearing it trip over it. Now, this study in the U.S. analyzed more than 14,000 cases of children aged 5 or younger hurt between 2011 and 2020 by being transported in baby carrier slings, harnesses, and wraps. And I want to say this about this story because when I saw it, it made me laugh. Because if that's not your culture to do it, stop playing with other people's culture. Because I'm sure in countries that people do that, they don't have kids falling at that rate. Get a stroller. Because technically, you're mocking people that you don't understand how the dynamics of doing a wrap works. It should not be that hard. But anyway, if that many kids are falling because you want to feel like you in another country or something, you might want to rethink that. So anyway, I don't know why they did a study on it, but it's kind of interesting. I'm like, you didn't need a study on that. Stop doing stuff that ain't natural to you, right? Like, stop mocking other people's culture. Now, a GOP candidate for mayor
I don't know. You remember this guy back in the, when did the Guardian Angels, wasn't that like in the 80s? Guardian Angels?
Yeah.
Remember they came out, that dude Curtis, whatever his last name is. He is running for mayor on the, as a GOP member. Now, he's crazy to me, right? He want to reopen a work camp in upstate New York to solve the homeless problem by acting as a what he called a human repair shop. I don't know whether to laugh or curse him out. I know it's, you know, a little afternoon and I don't feel like cursing today, but I almost want to curse him out. But he wants to open what's called Camp LaGuardia, you know, airport. It's a 258-acre, 1,000-bed compound built in, I don't know where Chester, New York is, in 1938 by the mayor, Mayor LaGuardia, to combat Depression-era homeless crisis. So being that it was a depression, there were so many people that was homeless, they built a camp for them. This dude wants to put the homeless people in a camp, a work camp. Like, under no circumstances are work camps cool. I don't know what part of have you ever heard of the Holocaust have you not gotten. But
right.
I don't know what to say about that. You know, I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, this is such a hard thing to even talk about, like how stupid this is. And at the same time, that do you need to highlight that this guy is running on this? Like, he's literally running on it. So should he actually be in office? I think the answer
no, hell no. No, but hell no. Come on, man.
Yeah.
They'll do gather him up and force him to go to a camp? Come on, stop.
No,
what's
a work camp. He's not saying just go there and we're going to give you job skills or whatever. He's talking about working them somehow. Like, what, he's going to make blue jeans like they do in prison? Like, he's going to make mouse pads? Like, what are you going to do to create a work camp for people just because they're homeless? People aren't voluntarily homeless. Anyway, so since I did his thing, the Republican, I'll do the Democrat now. The front runner, Eric Adams. Now, he's pretty conservative. He's the borough president of, I think it's Brooklyn, maybe. He's running for mayor as well. He's hinting that he's going to reverse Bill de Blasio's decision to cancel this gifted and talented school program. So a representative of his said that Eric Adams has constantly said that he would keep the program while providing more resources, classes, and support to low-income students to ensure fairer outcomes, whereas Bill de Blasio said that he's canceling that program. So Bill de Blasio is like, oh, I'm leaving. I'm going to cancel that program. So how are you, like, you want to take care of those people who are underrepresented and provide them more resources and support, and you're like, okay, we're not doing that no more.
Right. We're done with this one.
We're done, yeah. Let's go.
Wow.
Now, actor George Clooney has compared America to a battered child after knucklehead Donald Trump, which we call dotard Trump on this program. Donald Trump, divisive 4 years in the White House, and he's saying that Trump can't stand his own supporters in real life. So George Clooney,
I know he can't.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. And the thing about them, they don't care as long as they're promoting, as long as he's saying the nonsense that's going to hurt other people. They don't care if they're liked or not. That shows how sick some people are. You know, you're sick if you like, it's a Hitler thing, right? It's like, oh, he's doing our bidding, so he doesn't have to like me. He hates the same people I hate. That's what that is. So he spoke to, he was speaking, you know, George Clooney has a movie coming out, and, you know, he was on his press tour, and, you know, the overseas press like to ask you political questions. So one of the BBC's Andrew Marr show kind of asked Clooney about this, and he said Americans have been rather tough on one another for the past 5 years, and added that there's a lot of healing that needs to happen, and it's going to take time. And that's why he was talking about, you know, Biden's, you know, popularity or his polling amongst American voters, you know, while he was promoting his film. And he was just saying, look, a lot of people, we have not healed from that. So everybody's still kind of confused to what is his and what is not his and all that other stuff. But it takes time for that. You had a lot of negative go on. So technically, like you said before, Merrick Garland needs to be up out of there, because Democrats have a tendency of people in there who are neutrals. But they needed to prosecute all of those people who broke laws during the Trump administration, and they need to be harder on people, right? If somebody gets a subpoena and they don't show up, put them in jail.
I was just reading something where it was a woman during the Clinton era that refused to go against Bill Clinton, and they put her in jail for 18 months because she refused a subpoena.
Yeah. She wouldn't testify. They can do that. So whether Steve Bannon, once they served him papers and he said, I'm not testifying, put him in jail. They don't have the power of the government anymore. So when they were refusing subpoenas when Trump was there, they required the marshals to go out, the federal marshals, and Trump was pretty much saying, oh, I'm not going to authorize them to go out and enforce law, right? They can't do that. Biden needs to let go, because, again, a part of the bigger problem is the complacency of those people that replace the folks who are corrupt, right? Every president does this. When Nixon got impeached, before he got impeached, when he resigned, Ford pardoned him. When George W. Bush committed all those war crimes, Obama said, we need to move on. And they keep falling for this nonsense. But nobody goes to the Democrats and say, hey, you know what? They're going to feed all the homeless people and make even playing fields for black people. Now, if they did anything illegal to make that happen, Republicans would put them in jail as soon as they got out of office.
Exactly.
So one extreme is okay, but the other extreme isn't. Right? Something that's reasonable and humane is not reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So, Now, speaking of Trump, anyway, you know, he pressured the Department of Justice 9 times to overturn Biden's win, and pushed to make a co-election fraud attorney his AG, according to the Senate Democrats report. Now, they had a 394-page report from the Judiciary Committee. I don't know why I can't say that word today. It was released on Thursday, and the details, the DOJ officials shocked, and that's what they say, at the length that Trump went for his election fraud claim. But they're going to, see, again, as they find this stuff out, they need to throw people in jail. And I know they're not holding this. Before, I would have said, they're holding it until next year because the races are coming up, right? The midterms. But what happens with the Democrats, they'll be like, we're not going to do this because we don't want to make it look like it's politically motivated. So they're not going to even – if they don't put them in jail now and bring charges now, they're never going to do it.
No,
and again,
right.
it's the pathology of those folks. Now – a Texas mortgage advisor got 45 days in prison for rioting at the Capitol after the judge condemned prosecutors for suggesting probation and home confinement. See, again, they said, hey, you were at the riot at the Capitol, and the prosecutors said, okay, he should get probation and home confinement.
Oh,
so this guy,
wow.
Yeah. Now, this guy, Matthew Mazzocco, who's 37, shared a Snapchat chat of himself on Facebook on January 6th with the caption, "The Capitol is ours," but claims to be in full remorse, and he was sentenced on Monday by Judge Tanya Clutkin.
she did not agree with the prosecutor's recommendation, and she believed that a harsher sentence should be dealt. She said probation and a slap on the wrist does not prevent anyone from trying this again. And she said, just according to Courthouse News, she said that he only showed remorse when he realized that he can face serious consequences, and there has to be consequences for participating in an attempted violent overthrow of the government beyond sitting at home. So she said the country is watching to see what consequences are for something that has never happened in the history of this country before, and the mob was trying to overthrow the government and show their contempt for the rule of law. So he is one of 600 rioters who have been arrested as a result of that January 6th. I think it's actually 700 now, rioters. Yeah. He's only the 12th. He's the 12th to be sentenced. So everybody's trying to cut these plea deals.
And they're getting slap on the wrist, man.
Yeah. They tried to give him a slap on the wrist, and the judge is saying, you need to get jail time. You don't get no slap on the wrist for that. You know, people steal a slice of pizza and they get like 90 days in jail, right? This is not that. You broke in and tried to disrupt the government, and they're trying to let him go. Now, in another story, a judge says that a three-month sentence for a Capitol rioter who described himself as an accidental tourist should be a warning to others.
An accidental tourist.
He said he's an accidental tourist. So District Judge Thomas Hogan sentenced this guy, Robert Reeder, of Hartford County, Maryland, to 3 months in jail on Friday for his role in the riots. He said, I find your statement to the FBI to be self-serving and disingenuous, frankly. It has become evident to me that the riot cases that many of the defendants are pleading guilty are truly not accepting responsibility, right? They're pleading guilty because they're trying to stay out of everybody else's way. The judge said it seems to be trying to get this out of the way as quickly and as inexpensive as possible, stating whatever they have to, like by giving a guilty plea, getting probation, and hopefully that would be the end of it. So, the number is nearly 700 people have been charged in the 9 months since that happened. But
if they were black folks.
Oh, please, they would have that on court TV. You think the OJ trial was broadcast on primetime? They would have all these black people lined up. And they would have like a big hearing. If black people would have rushed the Capitol when Trump won, then technically they would have been like, it would have been like the Nuremberg trials. They would have had a big desk with everybody sitting there and like 12 defendants at a time. Mm. You know, kind of like they did the Panthers back in the day.
Yeah.
They would have broadcast that thing on every TV outlet that they can find.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, speaking of Nazis, check this out. A death camp guard who was 100 refused to make a statement as he becomes the oldest person ever tried for Nazi-era crimes. Now, the man identified himself only as Joseph S. The guard was at this death camp between 1942 and 1945 and is accused of being complicit in the murder of 3,518 people who was killed there.
Wow.
We can't prosecute something that happened 9 months ago and they're going back.
Really.
There's some irony to who you piss off, right? It's like, oh, no. You get to have a trial. This is going to happen. And we're like, it's 9 months ago. We should move on from Biden. Again, Dick Cheney's butt should be in jail for the stuff that they did. And being how bad Trump was, we focusing on the Trump people. But Dick Cheney is saying no Trump people in jail. And they broke laws like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We, yeah. Now, a teacher resigned from a North Carolina school after telling an eighth-grade black student that they would be a field slave if it was not for the Constitution.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, a teacher resigned from Winterville Charter Academy in North Carolina after telling black students in her class that if not for the Constitution, they would be her field slaves. Let me say this and be very clear. Black people are indigenous to North America. And if white folks wouldn't have brought disease over here, they wouldn't have killed off 80 to 90% of Native Americans, and they wouldn't have killed off most of the black people who were fighting the resistance. It was not because white folks were great fighters. It was because they brought disease. So if you're going to do history and stop at slavery, why don't we go back a little further and talk about what history actually is? She was telling little kids that they would be her field slaves. It's like, no.
My God. My God.
I, you know what? If I was one of the parents, I would tell the teachers, if I was a field slave, you would have still died by noon because there would have been revolt in your spot.
Really?
Right? They need to take the power from those people who feel like they are still oppressing people in their mind. Right? So I know some of the white people listening to this will still... Go ahead.
I'd have probably said something stupid like, and I'd have been Nat Turner.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And I know that some of the white folks listening to the show, and I know there's a lot of folks that listen, that you need to understand what we're saying. You cannot keep oppressing people by throwing little stuff out like this because you're messing with their self-esteem and what their value is. And we have grown white folks doing that to children. So you need to empower them. If you're going to empower them, you empower people with history. I am telling you the truth, right? The probability of you surviving during slavery is low.
Really?
And you did not keep people oppressed because they were weak-minded or all of that other stuff that you would like to claim. We survived because we were strong, not the opposite, right? So I think we need to actually start telling the truth to make sure that those people don't feel empowered of running up on your children saying nonsense if it wasn't for the Constitution. And you know what the Constitution is based on?
That's some garbage, man.
Yeah. The Constitution is based off the Iroquois Confederacy, and also the Constitution also says that there's an amendment to the Constitution that freed slaves, too, so technically your ass still wouldn't have had any slaves. So anyway, in the more disgusting news.
Really?
Two white news anchors in Arkansas have been suspended, and their bosses have been fired, or their boss has been fired, because they put two Afro wigs on air to celebrate the end of a heat wave by saying that they were in the 70s, so they put Afro wigs on. So news station in Little Rock suspended anchor Chris May and meteorologist Barry Brandt for wearing wigs during the 10 p.m. newscast. See, they thought it's at 10 p.m. and nobody's really watching this. And so they put Afro wigs on. Yeah.
Wow. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I guess that was their way of celebrating 70-degree weather and saying that it's the 70s. Okay. Now, Vegas Raiders coach apologized for saying NFL player had the lips the size of tires in this 2011 email. So here's where it gets a little shaky. So Raiders coach John Gruden was contrite about his offensive email, which he sent to a former president of the franchise, now known as the Washington Football Team. Now, the racist guy sent something to another racist owner, and he was like,
Daniel
I don't Snyder. Remember sending that. Now, doesn't that put it in context? I think he did something about it. He said he didn't remember it. Is his excuse.
He said, I don't remember stuff like that yesterday either.
It was 10 years ago. I don't really remember sending that. Yeah, to the president of the Washington Football Team, who don't even have a nickname because they can't give up Redskins. That's
right.
That's who was talking to? All right. Now, I know this one. I'm glad. If Kathleen's listening, hey, Kathleen. Oh, hi, Mariana. I have not said hi to her in a while. But let me tell you this. Kathleen would jump on me for this particular news story. So I'm glad she's not here. I'm sure I'll get a call after the show. But biracial ESPN anchor Sage Steele was taken off the air after questioning why Obama identifies as black when he was raised by a white mother. That she
okay.
said. And she also said female reporters know what they're doing by wearing sexy outfits on field and call vaccine mandate sick. So she,
okay.
they said she was taking a break after she made the controversial comments about race, sexism, and coronavirus protocols in her uncut podcast. And she was on with Jay Cutler. I don't know what that means, that she was kissing up to him on September of 29th when she did it. So Steele called ESPN's vaccine mandate sick, commenting on Obama's blackness while discussing her life as a biracial woman, and accused female journalists as of welcoming harassment based on the way they dress. So the 48-year-old was placed on leave and will not take part in the network's ESPNW, their women's summit, which focuses on women in sports. And let me tell you, a source is saying, familiar with the situation, claimed that Steele tested positive for COVID. And that's why she's gone, and she's expected to return to ESPN. But after her removal, she issued a groveling apology. Of course, you knew this was coming. She said,
"Of course,
I know my recent comments created controversy for the company, and I apologize." I don't know if she said it like that, but it was hilarious to me. But she said, "We're in the midst of an challenging time that impacts all of us, and the more critical than ever that we communicate constructively and thoughtfully." Okay. Now, Elias, you can jump in. I just need to get that out. Stay still.
What the hell? Come on, really? You have got to be kidding me. That's what they do. They make them dumbass statements. Oh, I didn't mean anything by it. I'm so sorry. You know I'm not like that. I would never be like, you are lying ass. You are like that. Just who you are. Just be who you are. I'd appreciate it more if you just said, this is who I am. Damn you, I don't like it. You don't like it, so what? I deal with it. I can accept that more than you coming back with old fake-ass apologies like some of them do. That's
right.
Really ridiculous to me.
Now, I want to say this to be really clear. Kathleen is not going to yell at me because of what she said. Kathleen knows I don't like Sage Steele because of some stuff that she said in the past. And so when you are advocating for women to be on TV and to be on sports, it's like you can't just take what you get. Sage Steele has always been under her breath saying stuff like this, you know, just on how she sees race and stuff. If you're going to do sports, I'm not saying, you know, shut up and dribble to Sage Steele. What I am saying to you is that your bias is actually impacting people's perspective of how they see individuals, and you should actually understand your responsibility. I understand my responsibility when I do radio, right? I need to watch how I say and what I say. So I try to be as clear as possible, and if not, again, send your letters to Jay, and I'll throw them out. I'll let him throw them out because Jay don't give me letters. So send them to Jay. But at the same time, you know, I think that we don't have honest discussions about this stuff. So I know I've gotten a lot of, text and mail saying that we should expand on some of these conversations when we have them, even on a news show, because I have a habit of just reading the story and then keep going. But when we have stories that we really need to comment on, we really should do that. And by the way, we should do a segment that if you want to ask us a question, just send ask Les and Jerome, L-E-S and Jerome, on this segment, ask us any questions you want to ask.
Now, I'm still going to pick them apart, and you can't disrupt this show. But if you want the questions, sign them up. We're going to pre-screen them. Don't think we're going to take them cold on the air. But if you have some questions, we'll do a whole segment of us answering questions if we're not expounding on the story enough. So I just wanted to put that out there. Now, former NBA player Lazard Hayward, I don't remember him, 34, is arrested after faking a negative COVID test to avoid quarantine in Hawaii. So I don't know where he gets this fake test, but he was with he was one of two individuals who was reportedly arrested in Hawaii last week. People, stop faking. Get a doggone shot. Faking your test will get you jail time.
Really?
Man. All right. The NYPD, the New York Police Department, is hunting for a woman accused of drugging a 23-year-old man and then stealing two Rolex watches, a Louis Vuitton bag, and a bottle of cologne. Why would you take that man's cologne? Anyway, my bad.
Nah,
the woman has not been named, but the NYPD did release a photo of her on Friday in hopes that the public could track her down. But she took his cologne. I don't care about the Rolex.
Wow.
He shouldn't be passing in front of no hooker anyway, but that's my thing. And I'm not saying she is fun. I'm just assuming that he kind of... Anyway, I'll keep moving for that before I get yelled at. I already did the same still thing too long. All right. A mother burned her 8-year-old son alive because he told his stepfather that she cheated on him. This is in Russia.
Oh, my Lord.
He got jailed for 15 years.
Oh, my Lord.
32 years old. And she claimed that she only meant to punish the kid, 8, by burning him. Yep. The court heard that she did nothing to douse the flames while he was burning. So she didn't even try to put him out.
Wow.
I know. Mm-mm. I know. And other disgusting news, an Italian porn actress dumped her 2-year-old son corpse into a checkout at a supermarket after she stabbed the 9-year-old, sent photos of him dying to his father. She is 44.
Mm. My God.
She took him to a grocery store and left him at a checkout counter because she wanted to punish her the kid's father. This is in Italy.
Wow.
All right. A daughter.
Sick people in the world, man.
Exactly. It is why we're doing this, because we go through life thinking that these are abominations, that this doesn't happen. There are some sick people in this piece, right? And so a daughter who's 55, she's accused of stabbing her father to death. He was 87, and his lover, who was 75, he had been written out of his will and was angry that he didn't let her sell $1.9 million Jersey home. So Cheryl Lee Heffernan, 55, faces 2 murder and 2 weapon counts for allegedly stabbing her father to death, John Elders, 87, his girlfriend, 75, in New Jersey. Okay, so, yeah, you get written out of some people's will, they're gonna set you on fire. Now, a white woman who secretly dated a black man for 7 years when they were in college in the 70s, she's rekindling love 42 years later. She's saying that they're in a nursing home in Chicago. I don't know if this is supposed to be a story because I don't feel good about it, but I'm just saying that the story was that she finally, they finally ended up in the same nursing home, and now she's out telling her story about her parents being so racist that she could not date him. So she finally gets a chance to date him in their 70s.
Wow.
Okay. I know.
God bless
I know. Hey. No. Now, a professional water polo player has been jailed for 15 years after stabbing his multimillionaire girlfriend to death, who reportedly dumped him for being too lazy. So, this is oh my God. A Ukrainian businesswoman. Yes. She's so I guess
the fact that since he's a professional water polo player, he has a lot of time off during his season. So she said that he was too lazy and he didn't want to do anything. So she broke up with him. He stabbed her 16 times and suffered 10 blows to the head, leaving her almost unrecognizable. And he fled the country, but they found him. He's been jailed for 15 years. I know, again, people are crazy. Now, you know, the refugees unite with Lauryn Hill as they announced their first tour in 25 years.
Really?
So, the trio announced that they are coming together to celebrate their 1996 hit album, The Score, with a 12-city tour, and the album is one of the best-selling albums of all time. It sold 22 million copies. Yeah. So, you know, I had to change the energy of the show a little bit with the refugees. Now, you know.
Yeah.
All right. I intentionally kind of left out the Cosby story last week. Because Cosby's spokesman, Andrew Wyatt, said that Cosby felt that R. Kelly got railroaded and wasn't going to catch a break at all in his trial that led to his conviction. Now, I just want to say this. The reason I'm telling this story is not to even talk about R. Kelly or anything, but it's really to say Cosby needed to close his mouth. Like, I'm just saying. Like,
really?
Because, yes, R. Kelly was going to get railroaded because he got away with that stuff for so long that he was not going to get
kicked
out. That's true. But for Cosby, we should not be seeking Cosby. He needs to let his stuff die down a little bit.
because
people are feeling some kind of way about Cosby. So you might want to calm that down a little bit and integrate yourself back in after they put the Cosby Show reruns back on CBS. Because, the major couple won't put it back all yet. So I also forgot I didn't do this story from last week, but 96-year-old Nazi secretary, they called her Secretary of Evil. She went on to she was supposed to go to trial in Germany for mass murder carried out during the death camp, and she went on the run. I don't know how she went on the run, but they got her. 96 years old. She said that she wasn't going to court, so when it came time for her to stand trial on September 30th, that she assisted the death of 11,412 prisoners. She said, "I'm not going," and she could not go. They caught her at a bus stop. She's 96. She's like, "I'm out." She's in the senior center. She was like, "Well, she was going to catch a ride." She wasn't running nowhere, right? I don't know where she was going. She was like, "I'm not showing up." And she tried to leave. You know, last week I did say I would play Black and White, but I know we don't have enough time. That's why I'm kind of going through that, the stories. I'm going to have to play Black and White a little earlier. You know, an intruder, 21, was mauled to death by two pit bulls while trying to break into a Georgia home. So the homeowner finds this guy's body on the porch the next morning when the intruder was mauled to death. Now, again, this was last Friday. Now, so the homeowner, who was not named, discovered the body on his porch. And I want to say this, I still don't feel sorry for him breaking into his house. Now, that has to be a horrible way to die, but he probably had those pit bulls for a reason. I just want to say that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so when people started to say, well, what about the dogs and whatever, I think they did what he probably bred them to do. They protected his house. Now, a Kansas City private school has this racism scandal because a student issued a homecoming date invite, and, you know, the unnamed boy asked his prospective date, both of them who are white, by the way, the sign says, "If I were black, I would be picking cotton, but I'm white, so I'm picking you up for homecoming." That's what the sign
says. Wow.
The girl was not named, but she crossed off yes when it was checked in the box, yes or no, would you go? And they filmed it like nuts.
So one of the students who attended the private school in Kansas City, they didn't name any of the two students, but it remains unclear which teen attends which school and which school will have that homecoming dance. But they really, again, these are young kids too. So it just tells you that they're not learning jack. Or maybe they are learning something. Now, now, speaking of Kansas, you know, there's a Kansas case that is going to change how rape, it could change how rape is charged. Now, this woman in Kansas is using this rare-used 19th century law to ask fellow citizens to help bring charges against a man who she said raped her. So the county prosecutor refused to press charges, and this woman, he said the woman merely experienced an immature sexual encounter, and her attacker was convicted on assault. So since the attorney's decision prompted this now 23-year-old girl to use the state law dating back to 1887, so instead of calling up a citizen grand jury, you can call a citizen grand jury, apparently. So she called them together for the first time on Wednesday to actually get them to bring charges against somebody because the prosecutor wouldn't. This might be a new way for people to bring charges against anybody. Your prosecutor, the judge, you can convene a citizen grand jury in Kansas. There's only three states, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska, that does that. But that's kind of dope. It's old law. So anyway, I wanted to say that, but, you know, I know we're running close on time, but that it was kind of interesting that she did that and that you're able to do that in Kansas. But she found a way around it. Citizen grand jury. All right, so on that note, I tried to leave it a little light, but anywho, we'll get back again with you next week.
Okay.
Hey, all right, man, we'll see you.
All right, brother.
All right, yep.
Later.
Later.